Hey yo, here we go. Sweet Talk Comics, it is episode number 86. We're calling this one Retro Comic Book Gaming, something like that. What else? You guys got a better name?
That's pretty glamorous. It's pretty
retro.
You really stuck the landing on that one.
Retro Comic Gaming is what it's called. Retro Comic Gaming. Because we played a bunch. We got out the emulators. We played a whole crap load of games from the 16-bit and 8-bit era based on comic
and
books.
And the half a bit.
We went pretty hardcore on this thing. So we're going to talk about those. We're beers around the patio style here because Chris is in town recording. We'll probably record so much content here. Who knows how many shows this will be split out into and what we're going to do here.
This may be the last episode we record, but we can just keep going. We'll be like Prince. We can just keep releasing parts of this episode.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
Having retired.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, it's going to be a good time, though. We'll do this. We'll at some point get ourselves some wings. We'll put up with the noise from the neighbors. We'll have the beer or the birds in the background. We'll all be drinking. We're going to introduce ourselves. I am Mo. We're going to introduce ourselves by what we're drinking. And I got vodka mud shake. I got the tropical banana, which sucks, and the pina colada, which I'm hoping won't. Chris?
All right. I'm Chris. To keep up with the Mo's pussified theme, I've got a blueberry beer and pump house variety, of course. And I've also got a chocolate bunny stout.
Yeah, I really like me my foo-foo drinks, so enough of that. It's nothing wrong with it. Brad?
That's a macho like chocolate bunny.
No.
Butching it up there.
I said I was keeping up with his foo-foo. Yeah,
that's true. That's true. You guys are just fighting a battle.
I'm winning.
I got me some Alexander Keith's Premium White right now. Mm-hmm. I'm a big fan of the white beer.
Mm-hmm.
This is it. I'm Keith, and I'm drinking Rickard's Blonde, which is a light ale. And next in the queue is one of Moe's vodka mudshake pina colada, which I'm glad I grabbed before he realized that he doesn't so much like the banana one. he might not have said yes to the pina colada. I also have some Fireball Shooter.
Oh, there you go.
Cinnamon whiskey. So yeah. That came out a little later, and we'll that may have to be at its own episode. The cinnamon whiskey.
Well, at least we'll have a good name for that one.
It'll be beers under the patio.
We talk comics after dark.
Patio's revenge. Yeah, hey, Brett, you also got yourself a regular Keith's there going for when you're done this
There's
one,
regular so Keith's, and I'm going to try one of Chris's blueberries.
We're good to go. What's that one with the red label there?
That's the blueberry.
That's the blueberry? It's okay. All right, I just assumed since it was blueberry, its cap would be blue. I don't know what I was thinking there.
Apparently. Well, I believe because it's from Pump House. So.
And
Keith has
a crunchy snack, which means, as he always does, it's good odd.
All right.
Well, if you've ever listened to the Beers of the Patio style, obviously it's a little bit different than our regular record. And so it's okay, Keith. Make as much noise as you want. of course, he did that just because he knew it would piss Brad off. yes. All right.
We were at the Max on the way over here. And I said, I need the crunchiest sounding thing I can find. Just so that I can open that up right before right as we're recording.
And that was what you chose, really?
Well, he wouldn't eat the corn nuts I suggested.
Because corn nuts totally would be.
I don't know if my teeth could survive.
But I did suggest though he tries that crunch bar, and then he let me know that that's not actually that crunchy, which is ironic.
Well, it's not terribly good. Yeah. It's gonna fit, but
it doesn't have the automatopoeia of crunchy that you'd think.
No. All right, so anyways.
Nice use of onomatopoeia on the actual podcast.
I'm really working my university degrees off a buck at a time.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's not like you work in a field where your university degree comes in all that handy.
No.
All right, so there aren't many fields that are that do what he's playing.
So like I say, retro comic book gaming, because there's probably some news that happened in San Diego and it's old mail. Is there anything big you guys want to talk about before we get to this? You guys want to talk about the Superman Batman movie or anything else that happened there that's a big news that you need to throw out there because it's bugging you and you haven't had a chance to get it off your chest yet? You haven't had your, what do you call it?
moment in the sun.
Well, let's. Yeah. I did ask for Twitter questions. We'll see during the many, many hours of recording.
Yeah, ask for more than one. Everybody asks for them except for me because my phone isn't hooked up to my Twitter.
We did get because you brought up Superman Batman. That's the question that I got back from our pal Andy Samaritan93. Who won at San Diego, World's Finest, which is Batman Superman, or Age of Ultron? So those are the two big movie announcements. Superman Batman, which is currently unnamed. It may be Superman versus Batman, it may be Batman versus Superman, it could just be Superman Batman, it could be World's Finest, we don't know yet. They haven't decided because they haven't written the script yet what it's going to be called. And then we have Avengers 2 Age of Ultron. Which was the bigger deal? Which is the...
I don't think it's even a question. Superman, Batman, we had no idea where they were going on that one. And on Avengers, we just got a subtitle.
Yeah, but does
of
it
a crappy series.
Yeah, but I'm just wondering, so this Avengers 2, you're saying, Age of Ultron, what happened to the Thanos reveal at the end, then? Is that...
That is the question that was one of the first questions. The first question, of course, being, oh my God, please no. It's not based on Age of Ultron, is it?
That's not so much... Yeah, you managed to work that into a question eventually.
Yeah, I did get that into a question, yeah. I had to put a...
Yeah.
There was an ellipsis in that one.
Yeah.
$2. Written off $2 of that $50,000 and just...
$50,000 per year.
I went to Canadian University. So
yeah, but you went for 15 years.
Felt like it.
Yeah.
Yes, I think everyone's initial reaction to Age of Ultron was, is it really based on the Age of Ultron miniseries that, like, there were fans of, but just not a whole lot of them?
Well, there were lots of people buying the book, but...
There were. It took them about a half hour to announce that it's not based on the comic.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people buying the book. Were they buying it, though, because they were waiting for whatever the big reveal was going to be at the end of issue 10? Isn't that
perhaps
right?
I mean, issue 10 did sell better than it's not necessarily the story quality. I can't say I read it, but I know that the quality of the people who were involved in it were definitely the kind of people who sell books.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether they enjoyed it, whether perhaps on its own it's a fine story.
I did read all the way to the end, it's hard. I mean, it's hard to tell because I'm within most of the people I chat with are DC folks. So, and you know, except for our pal Aaron Long, Marvel Zombie. So it's hard to tell what man on the street Marvel fan thought of it. I despised it so much that I actually wrote an entry for the Read Between the Lines, begging people to explain what the ending actually was not meant. I understood the meaning of it. What happened in the book was what I didn't understand.
Nice, yeah.
Yeah.
Because my only thing is that I could easily see how you wouldn't like it versus the current continuity or lack thereof, you know, and...
That was one of my problems with the book, is that they insisted going in over and over that it took place in the Marvel Now, continuity, not that they had rebooted, but that it was in present day. They did the AU tie-in books that made it look like it took place in the present day, and by the end of the book you realize that it takes place like 2 years back. That it takes place, you know, far back.
Back when they started writing it.
Yeah, exactly. That's when it takes place.
Yeah.
That the point at which that the Age of Ultron universe and the regular Marvel universe diverged was two and a half years back in continuity. And that's
awfully confusing.
Yeah, it is. And because they come to the end and they show you the point at which it diverges, and the point at which it diverges was that, like, Avengers 12 or whatever that started this whole thing.
And then I still don't understand the idea of Avengers 2 Age of Ultron. Okay, it's not based on this, then why use the name?
It is a good name.
Oh, yeah, but there's a lot of good names.
I mean, it's a really good name.
Well, and
Wolverine Origins isn't based on... Wolverine isn't based on Wolverine Origins.
Yeah. I don't have a problem with that. I mean, you use a good name when you have a good name. I mean, it's going to be interesting because, I mean, now, and I could be wrong, but somebody mentioned to me that Hank Pym hasn't technically been introduced, so it won't be him who creates Ultron in the Avengers movies.
Isn't it?
This is Andy's second question.
Isn't he supposed to be in the upcoming Captain America movie?
No, he is in the Ant-Man movie.
Okay.
Whether he's in the Captain America movie or not, we don't know, but they have said he's not in the Avengers movie. And that, I mean, I don't think they've officially said, but the assumption is that it will be Tony Stark who creates Ultron.
Yeah, that's.
So, yeah, what does it do for Thanos, though?
Thanos is going to be in Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah, that's what I would think, Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah, they did officially announce that at San Diego, that Thanos, because that was the second or third question that came up automatically, was you've introduced Thanos at the end of the Avengers movie. Everyone assumed that the second Avengers movie. I actually always assumed he'd be in Guardians. Whether he was going to be in Guardians and then...
Well, you didn't always assume, because it wasn't Guardians announced after Avengers came out?
Well, now I don't know.
And... No, we have to remember that the Cosmic Cube was entered, or the Tesseract. The Tesseract,
which was everyone listening to our show is going to call it the Cosmic Cube.
Yeah, yeah.
It's the Cosmic Cube. I don't care. Yeah.
It's the Cosmic Cube. Yeah. Was introduced several movies before we actually got to play with it. Yeah,
was it introduced in Captain America.
Captain America. Like, yeah, and Thor. Captain America.
Thor was introduced in
Thor. Yeah,
Thor.
Okay. Yes, Thor.
Yeah, it was Thor, and then we saw it again in Captain America.
Yeah.
Thor was our first.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was the post-credits in Thor, and then it was... And then we found the origin of it in Captain America.
That's right, yeah.
And, so, yes, Thanos is one of the villains in Guardians. We've seen a couple others that are going to turn up. Collector is in it, played by Benicio del Toro. And... Avengers 2, they've only started kind of talking about. They haven't said that there's a finished script yet. Actually, Sam Jackson said there is, and Joss Whedon said there isn't. So I don't know who's telling.
Well, Sam Jackson's already talking about Phase 2 as well. So I mean,
well, this is all Phase 2 now. I mean, everything after Avengers is Phase 2.
Just to get back to Andy's question about who wins, all I can tell you is that where I work, there's not a lot of comic book people, and everybody heard about World's Finest and was asking me about it. Or, you know, they weren't asking about Age of Ultron. So, if that's your basis on who wins, it's Batman, Superman. To a casual audience, that's a much bigger deal.
It is. I mean, it is right now, because I think if you had announced Batman, Superman at the same time that they announced Avengers, then Avengers 1, perhaps it's different. You know, but now, I mean, Avengers 1 has already happened. This is just a sequel. I mean, everybody knew there was going to be a sequel. It's a giant movie.
Yeah.
So, I mean...
Maybe it's not the direction they expected, but it is happening. Whereas Superman, and you also have to keep in mind, with Man of Steel being the third or fourth highest grossing movie of the summer, of the year, it looks like.
Yeah, I mean, we knew there was going to be a sequel.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, this is a different
thing. I do understand from what I've heard, I don't know if you've heard this, apparently Adam West will not be returning as Batman. Anyways, go on.
I thought that R.I.P.D. was the third highest grossing movie of the summer. But,
it was the third grossest.
It won't even be the third highest grossing It won't even be the third highest grossing of a movie based on an independent comic, let alone. I mean, Kick-Ass 3, and there'll be something else.
Red.
And Red.
Red
will both,
too,
will both gross more than R.I.P.D.
Yeah, it already did.
Coming out of Comic-Con, though. X-Force.
Sorry, we never actually wrapped up the other one.
Yeah.
before we go on that, actually, I hadn't written X-Force down, but good.
Well, to borrow from Peter David, but I digress. Yeah.
So, I gotta say, my focus group of one, my wife, who's not a comic reader, so she's one of my check-in points for non-comic readers who love the geeky movies, though. I asked her about. I said, I'm just gonna. I told her about both of them. She had read about them, and I said, Batman, Superman, Avengers, Age of Ultron. Which one gets you? And she said, her honest words were, "What's an Age of Ultron?"
Yeah.
And she didn't like Man of Steel, actually, for different reasons than most people that didn't like it.
Didn't know.
different reasons than Mo, and different reasons than Brett told Mo.
I have nothing against that movie.
than Chris told Mo.
I have nothing against that movie.
The she said she loves Batman, even though knowing it's going to be a new Batman, she wants to. She's interested, and Henry Cavill would likely be without a shirt for at least part of the movie, so she's back.
Well, if that's all it takes to get her to a movie, I'll take my shirt off. We'll get her to listen to her. If I take my shirt off, I'll get her to listen to the podcast.
She doesn't even watch movies of me. Have me with my shirt off.
That was a great Henry choice, Cavill. Chris. I'm glad it's big.
Yes, chocolate bunny, not a good idea for a beer.
That's why he tried to get us to taste it, and we
went,
no. I can
smell that from here. It smells like hot chocolate.
Oh, my. It doesn't taste like hot chocolate.
We've got to pass it around.
All right, now I got to try it. Now, I'm going to say, the pina colada is tastier than the tropical banana vodka milk.
All right, for all you listening at home, chocolate bunny, chocolate stout. Now you this is the point where you unsure.
That's awful.
Yeah. We should have. Oh, God. It's. I should not have smelled that.
No.
Oh.
Don't.
Oh, it's like the brown cow chocolate milk that's gone off of it.
Yeah. Carbonated.
Oh my God. I don't know how something that it's cold.
For a second there I thought I could pretend that I liked it.
Pretending that you liked it.
I was gonna do the traditional. Well, I liked it, but no. Even ingest, I can't.
You know what? I really appreciate my banana tropical now.
I need something else.
Anything.
That was something else, Chris. Very good.
Chris, I don't know how something, it's cold flavor, it's like a chocolate flavor, and it's cold to touch, and yet it burned. I don't understand how it burned.
It smells like cheap chocolate milk that you get from from the dollar store, and it's called
smells like the kind of thing
Choco Melt,
where you have to squirt the chocolate flavor into it.
Yeah,
it's almost like that.
If you took some chocolate flavor and squirted it into some sort of cologne and then drank it, is what it tastes like.
I drank other things and I can still taste it.
I know, it won't get out of your mouth no matter what you do. And I had the smallest sip because as soon as it hit my tongue, I almost...
Now if we have the hot wings later, we know that will coat your mouth like nothing else.
That's true.
To get rid of the spicy.
We'll be fine then.
Oh, no. Awful.
That was painful.
Okay.
Let's talk X-Force.
What lineup are they going to use?
Oh, let me tell you something, Chris. That beer is an X-Force of nature.
I hope that Chocolate Bunny's one of the characters. But
They have not said what the lineup is. They have not said which era they're basing this on. Although Rob Liefeld did leak this in advance. So clearly, I mean, he probably Marvel's deal. He gets a couple of points no matter what if it's called X-Force.
But it would make more sense coming out of the Fox X-Men universe to do the modern incarnation of X-Force where Wolverine is leading a team.
Is a Wolverine? I mean, is a Wolverine and X-Force movie more logical than just doing another Wolverine movie? I mean, are they better off starting fresh with just like staying in the same universe but starting with a fresh lineup? Which was what the original set.
But you also look at that original lineup; it's pretty goofy.
It is kind of an odd. Most of them are characters we haven't seen already in the X-Men movies,
which is good.
And I mean, they have no problem introducing new characters. That's one of the
Guardians
concerns
of the Galaxy.
Well, it's one of the concerns. Well, that's
Marvel. Fox
this
here.
Is, yeah. This is Fox. Days of Futures Past. That's I've seen that come up. A couple of people have expressed concern about the number of characters.
Chris, drinking that? Because he paid for it.
He paid money.
Oh, I'm sorry.
He's going to pass it around. We're all going to have another drink just to be sure.
I'll bring out glasses later. So
I'm putting this to the side.
The chocolate bunny beer is now the equivalent of when you open the milk in the fridge and go, I think this has gone bad. Please smell it.
I think this has gone chocolate bunny. Please smell it.
I think this is horrible. Can you want to give it a try? I want hashtag chocolate bunny trending.
I think Cable is the biggest
chocolate bunny beer.
Cable is the biggest character in the X universe that has not been in a film yet.
Yeah, and I think that I'd be shocked if Cable isn't.
I mean, we know Bishop is in Days of Futures Past. Gambit was in Wolverine Origins. Who else is up? Who else is at least in the comic world known as much as
that? As far as hero, maybe there might be some villains that you could argue are bigger.
Well, I mean, that's true. I mean, and maybe to Chris's point, something like the Apocalypse Sanction, was that the name of the X-Force story?
Mm.
The first,
I think so.
The first
the X-Sanction, was it?
I just can't imagine them introducing Boom Boom and Richter into a cinematic universe.
No, that's
characters
true.
That have no traction whatsoever.
Domino.
But why does it have to be? Yeah, why does it have to be the characters people don't know? Why can't you just pick the characters that are most familiar that have once been part of this that haven't been introduced?
We're going to have a whole mess of new characters introduced in Days of Future Past that we won't get a huge amount of time on. But I mean, a lot of them in the other X-Men, three X-Men movies, you didn't get a huge amount of time. I mean, you could do an X-Force.
A lot of the times they would show somebody, show their powers, and never once mention their name or what those powers were. Just quickly show it, you know?
I mean, that happened in the... Yeah, that happened in the first X-Men movie where you saw Kitty Pryde.
Yeah, or Colossus, same
thing,
right?
And you saw Colossus, and they weren't actually named, and then a different actress was cast as Kitty Pryde later when she was given a name.
Yeah, but still.
That's... But I mean, we all knew from the powers who it was.
Yeah.
I don't know, I kind of expect... more of the original, but not necessarily those characters. I mean, some of them are going to look good on... And Boom Boom's not going to look good on film.
No.
That character just doesn't quite work. Like, it's
Fenrir. Also, I can't imagine.
Feral?
The Wolfsbane, sorry.
Feral.
How about Jubilee? Yeah.
Star Shatter.
Shatterstar?
Shadowstar. Oh my God, that's going to be awful.
He's a Shatterstar.
That
Longshot
is,
hasn't been.
He
Longshot,
is
sorry, Longshot that, would be great.
Longshot's another well-known character. Hasn't
Longshot,
been.
Yeah.
But actually, Shatterstar would be easy. Shatterstar.
Well, Shatterstar is. Let's face it. I mean, if Liefeld's going to get points anyways, because that's the character you look at. You go, boy, that is Liefeld. That is a work of Liefeld right there.
The double sword.
Yeah,
I love the double sword. I'd love to see a real life.
I do think it'll be Cable, but I don't know what else. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if they
Cable the next
with. With Singer really kind of hands on with the X movies now again, and the idea of building out this as a more complex universe, you know, we're up to what are we at? We'll have six X movies.
Just out of curiosity, Chris, did you already see Wolverine here? Did you see
Wolverine? I have not seen Wolverine.
Okay, I wasn't sure if you
I was
it
going
yet.
To a 10 o'clock show, and then it was far too late for me.
The Wolverine?
Yeah, we're old folks. We fall asleep at 10.
I'm back and forth on it. I mean, I hated Origins so much, but I know it's a new...
It looks to me...
But it's a different director.
From everything I've heard and seen, it does appear that they are trying to say, this is the Wolverine movie for the Wolverine fans, and forget that other one.
Yeah, I mean, the Twitter stuff that I've seen on it has been...
I've seen some positive...
Fantastic, really. Really
yeah, and a lot of it is in the context of... I know we all hated Wolverine Origins, but I'm usually pretty strong on not seeing sequels to movies I didn't like. But with a new director, or maybe I've like I said, I have the only negatives I've heard is that there are third act problems, and that there are parts that are a bit campy, which is not a word I like to hear when I'm going to a movie. I'm not a big fan of campy anymore.
No, but they. I'm a huge fan of camp. However, when they put it in a review, it's campy. Most often, it's being misused as it's bad and we're making excuses for it.
Yeah.
There's a difference between that.
Yeah, it's like when someone calls it comic booky. That they don't mean
they
that
don't
it looks
mean
like a comic book. They mean it seems like Archie.
One of my least favorite uses of the word comic booky. It's not true.
Yeah.
But what they call comic booky has so little to do with comic
books. Well, no, I mean, comic no, not are. Necessarily. When they're saying that they're calling something comic booky, usually what they're trying to say is it's incredibly implausible what they're asking us to believe. And guess what? We accept what's in comic books, but that's because we're willing to accept the implausible. So, I mean, that's fine. Ain't no problem with that.
like the Archie movie.
implausible.
Which one? Back to Riverdale?
No. Awesome. Well, no, they're doing another Archie movie.
Oh yeah, right. They only did the one Back to Riverdale movie. So is this one a reboot or is just a?
I think it wasn't the Back to Riverdale just a TV special.
Just a TV movie. Yeah.
Yeah, so this one's a theatrical movie.
Ah, so it's the first theatrical.
And I have read that it's bad because it's my least favorite comic book writer of all time writing it.
Who's that?
Robert Aguirre Sacasa.
What's he write?
Nothing now, but he's the guy who wrote that the Fantastic Four season one.
Oh god.
And Fantastic Four for Marvel Knights and such. But But the talk is that they're going to introduce Archie and zombies in the live action movie, and I'm like, WTF?
What was that Archie Mysteries or whatever? Is it going to be like that then, maybe? It's going to be Archie meets Scooby-Doo? Is that what we're looking at, or?
I don't know, I mean...
Hey, look, yeah. Zombies are money.
I like the Scooby-Doo
movies. Oh, zombies are totally money, huh?
I like the Scooby-Doo movies.
That's all right. Are anything else?
The bad guy in one of them? Scrappy.
I'd love to see a Life with Archie movie. That Life with Archie is an awesome comic book, actually.
It is really good. Yeah. I don't know. I guess it depends on what they want to aim it at. Theatrically, you have to go a bit broader than. The tween and teen audience is money in the bank right now.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't be surprised to see them. Something like Life with Archie may sell to that audience.
Archie.
See, you know, I'm afraid we're going to end up with Sabrina the Teenage Witch type audience if they go for the tweens.
Just
in which case,
Archie,
I won't see it.
I gotta say that I am looking forward to in a couple of years using the phrase, this is not my Archie Andrews.
which I may do
no matter what it turns out like.
What actually will be your Archie Andrews is the question.
No idea.
And will they introduce the gay character?
Yeah.
Yes. I kind of think they will.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'd be
will.
Shocked if they didn't introduce
Kevin. For sure they will. Just tell an Archie book that's the pure innocence of fun of Archie, and go from there. Archie movie. So, any other news from this come around here? We want to hit, or we want to get to those wee views of these games?
Or should we go to the wings?
Yeah. What's the plan? What's the plan here?
6:30. Yeah.
Oh, so we've been going for a while here already, huh?
Yeah.
What do you guys think?
Well, we can pause.
Do you have any more news items?
I have a couple of news items.
Let's just hit those and then we'll do the wings.
You sure? I was looking for the wings to get the taste of chocolate bunny out of my mouth.
But I don't think they make a wing that strong, do they?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
I will say that if we're going to do hot wings, let's keep that chocolate bunny on hand. That's going to kill anything that's happening in your mouth.
Yeah, but is it worth it?
If you've got tooth decay, that's going to have taken care of it. If you have picked up any kind of infection, it will be gone.
Yeah.
If you ever felt joy.
All right, so what else
also,
we got for news here?
Also gone. Comixology, in their panel at San Diego, announced that they have digitally... Well, they uploaded it. You downloaded it. Their 180 millionth comic. I'd say about half of that's probably the Marvel 700 free comics.
Yeah.
But still impressive. Still really impressive. IDW is reissuing the Max. I was just admiring on the shelf in Brett's house here. He's got the big Max statue, Sam Keith the Max.
That's right. I had to work.
Been out of print for many, many years.
Yeah, that's my pride and joy statue right there.
It's a great statue, beautiful statue.
We're taking a picture of it. That'll be a show picture.
Sam Keith is overseeing the remastering and recoloring of the whole run. It will be issued. Right now we're hearing that it'll be trade paperback, hardcover, and artist edition, which will be without the text.
So IDW, that
artist
seems interesting.
Edition without the text, and that seems really crazy.
I just got poor.
Simply via osmosis, it's just happened. Yeah,
it is. They were great, and unfortunately, I mean, they are one of the ones that was too pretty for the paper it was being printed on.
Oh, absolutely. Because that paper, when they first came out, that was bad paper. Yeah.
I actually can't wait to see it digitally.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I love reading digital because you get those clean, crisp, lighted things where paper isn't a.
Well, it didn't say it's, going to be available digitally.
I would assume it would.
I would assume it would. I think it's pretty good with that.
That's a good question. It's something that came up when I was reading an old John Byrne comic digitally, one of the Supermans. And I was reading it on Comixology, and I'd read those books. It's one of the ones that's uncollected. So I'd only read it in the original print from the late. It was the Supergirl saga, so 1989.
That's not collected?
Uncollected.
Holy crap.
They're almost there if they keep doing the Superman, the John Byrne Man of Steel trades, which are doing his run and when Ordway was working with them.
I seem to remember a collected edition years ago from that.
It has never been collected.
Yeah. Hell, they're just getting around to doing the Grell Green Arrow finally.
Yeah, we've been complaining about that for years.
The first 15 years of issues in the fall, and that's it has never been collected, which is unbelievable.
Yeah.
But I'm reading that and I'm thinking that this stuff digital, when you don't have that grain of the paper, it's almost like when you first saw Blu-ray and it was cleaned up too much and everything looked a bit flat. When CDs came out and they were a little too clean.
So The Hobbit. It's too clean.
Mm-hmm. Right? There's no film grain to The Hobbit.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's film grain, there's the paper grain, and there's mm-hmm. that... I'm not obsessed with the feel of the paper or anything in that part of the experience, but it just looks a little strange to me when I'm looking at it.
I mean, I don't know. I don't... Maybe it's the... I generally read on Comixology only on my computer. I don't read it on my phone because my phone's very, very small. And my tablet's so old that I don't use it. So, I mean, on the computer, it doesn't come across strange to me.
Yeah, it's just, it hasn't been that much, but it's... I mean, I did have the same experience when I looked at... And when I bought the Visionaries collections of Byrne's Fantastic Four. And maybe it's just his art style. That the way that stuff was colored is kind of more old school... more flat colors because the process wasn't the same as it turned into in the 90s with the more complex color palette. So it's a bit more open art style, probably more flat fill colors as opposed to tonal colors.
Hmm.
What else we got? Amelia Cole number 9 comes out on Wednesday. I was just asked by the colorist of Emily Cole to put that in the news.
All right. No problem. Any other Twitter questions then?
I got two more little news bits. I want to correct something I mentioned on the podcast a couple weeks ago. We talked about the digital... The Guided View Native is what Comixology is calling the Batman 66 and Infinite... type, and I talk about Valentine, which I thought was the first comic that came out in that format. There is one earlier, and it's got a way better name than anything that's been used before for that format, so I think it's what should catch on. It's what we'll use from now on, because it is awesome. A French artist named Balak, in 2009, early 2009, so about 8 or 9 months prior to Valentine coming out, introduced playing with this idea of use slideshow, basically, of how a slideshow could have bits come in PowerPoint, and said, what if you did that in a comic and had little bits appear at a time in layers? And they did a comic, and this individual did a comic called Turbo. So these could be called Turbo comics.
Nice.
I told you.
I actually like Balak comics.
Balak's pretty good, too, but I think Turbo comics.
I like Turbo.
On.
Let's go with it.
And most importantly, it doesn't give credit to Mark Waid, which I really like.
Mark, let it go. Let it go.
Creator.
Good writer.
And this is the least comic booky thing I'm ever going to put in the news, but it was too awesome to leave off because I don't know if you guys knew. It was just announced. This is a Saturday that we're recording this. It was just announced today at the Star Wars Celebration that. Star Wars Episode 7 will have music by John Williams.
Ah, excellent. Yeah. That to me is still Star Wars comic book related enough and important. That's good to hear.
And important.
And just because I just found out about it, let's just mention that Captain Canuck, the web series, funded successfully on on Indiegogo months and months ago, and is available. So, now, if you're a Captain Canuck fan, as many of us on this podcast are, check it out.
I never read it.
Really?
I will. Yeah, I've never read it. Brett, have you? Did you read it?
Maybe I've read an issue or two. Well, not much.
Yeah, yeah. So really? two of you are a big fan.
I read it over and over as a kid.
I love Captain Canuck.
Yeah, it
was one of the first comics I ever read.
Yeah, it never came up when I was a kid, honestly.
But you did just have a chance to meet the creator. What's his name, Richard Cumley?
I did, Richard Cumley, who created Captain Canuck. He was in Calgary for a signing, and I had the pleasure of meeting him. He's actually the final of the core creators that I hadn't met. Claude St. Aubin, who continues to ink, be an inker. He's done a lot of work for DC in the last few years. Met him at a show a few years ago, and George Freeman, who just worked on that Mars Attacks book that we all hated. Not Mars Attacks, Dinosaurs Attack. I also met him at a show a couple of years ago. They were the core people. Freeman actually was also serving as editor and was recruited by Marvel Comics but didn't want to live in the U.S. And chose to just live in the middle of nowhere, Canada, and continues to work freelance.
I think an understandable choice, anyways. So how'd that go?
I was great meeting him. It was really cool, and had a great chat with him, and. He signed all my books. He was impressed that the Captain Canuck Summer Special. He was the fifth signature on that, including Dave Sim, creator of Cerebus, who did a pinup. Tom Grummet, who artist on Superman for many years, who also did a pinup. And it's just a good guy. He's a really positive man, and he's kept Captain Canuck alive for a long time. When others might have moved on with other things, but he's continued to find ways to get this character back in, and it is. You know, Canada's really most prominent creator-owned thing after Cerebus, I would imagine.
Yes, possibly, yeah.
And Captain Canuck represents Canada much better than, say, Guardian.
I suppose Essex County would also be.
Or Cerebus.
I said Cerebus.
Yes.
I said after Cerebus, but Essex
no,
County.
No, but I mean... What, Chris?
I don't know if Cerebus. Yeah, Cerebus doesn't.
Cerebus doesn't exactly represent a Canadian spirit in any sense.
No, nothing about sitting around drinking beer that seems Canadian to me.
I would do that. So this beer's starting to hit me already, so this will be good. Let's go get some wings before I get completely wasted. But as we go out here, we are just going to, we'll just ask for, we'll all send it out on Twitter. Hopefully we'll get some more questions here. You never know. People sometimes on Saturday night are busy and they won't see their Twitter. So we'll just see if we get any other live questions. We'll see it out. So we'll all send it out again. Let's go order some wings and we'll be back in a moment. For you guys, Seamless, talking some comic book video games from the 16 and 18-bit, or 16 and 8-bits era. Like I say, the alcohol hit me. 16 and 8-bit era. You know what actually hit me? The chocolate bunny.
I think that's like 18% actually. I'm feeling it heavily.
Hey, so we're back. We've ordered our wings. We're waiting for them. We're talking some more comics. We've got some more Twitter stuff happening, but we're not going to get to that yet. I'm going to get Keith, though, to tell his story of what kind of beer he wanted to get that he could not get at the liquor store on the way here.
So we stop at the liquor store, and I've developed a taste for ginger beer. And ginger beer is, I'm not the first one to notice it, is starting to come out, getting more varieties. Innocent Gun has just introduced a ginger beer. So I do about five passes through the refrigerated beer section, looking for any kind of ginger beer. Nothing. Like, I've never been in a store where it doesn't have, like, one kind.
You asked us, you're like, where is it? We're like, I don't know, it's got to be here.
Yeah, because there's always at least one kind in any store. And I'm like, well, probably if they have one, then it's on, like, with the liquors as opposed to in the beer cabinet. It won't be cold. Mo insists I go ask the guy anyway. So I go up and ask, do you have any ginger beer? And the guy's, it's hard on an audio podcast to show the blank look someone can have. But he's a blank look on his face. He's like, ginger. I'm like, yes. Ginger beer. Yeah, we've got a couple of things. And he starts leading me away, but the look on his face convinced me that what I was about to get was not actually ginger beer. He leads me back and he says, this has ginger. And what I'm looking at is pre-mixed ginger and vodka, ginger ale and vodka. And then he takes me to this other thing that is an Alberta beer, the AB Brewery or whatever it's called, and says, this also has ginger. And I look at the box, and I continue to look at it. There's nothing that says ginger on this box.
I've had that beer many times. That is the cheap, generic, local beer. It does not contain ginger. It barely contains beer.
Is that the red box?
Yes.
The red box. And he says, this has ginger. And I'm looking at it, and I'm like, I know it's not ginger beer, but it's not ginger anything.
At least the other one was ginger ale and vodka, you know.
I was actually even a little bit interested in the ginger ale and vodka. It's one of my favorite drinks.
Yeah, it's funny because you quietly say to me as he's leading you back into the refrigerator area, you're like, this isn't going to go well. And I follow to see the disaster. And it does not go well. All right.
I just realized this mud shake says shake well before opening, which I did not do.
Yeah, it won't change it. It's still sweet.
It is a very, very...
Yeah, I'll shake the other one for you. I need you to try the banana one, too. But,
yeah, this is an incredibly sweet drink.
Yeah, that's why I like it. I like me some foo-foo drinks. Anyways, so we're finally going to get to this week's topic here. Of course, like I said, we did some retro gaming. And I'm going to say that right now, I had a lot of difficulty getting a couple of the emulators to work. The arcade one, MAME, only able to get a couple of the games to work. I wasn't able to get anything to work on the Commodore 64 emulator. Neither were these two gentlemen. Mm-hmm. They weren't able to get the MAME one working at all. At least I was able to get a couple games. What kind of luck did you have with the MAME and the C64?
The MAME, no luck.
Yeah.
The C64, I was... Now, the interesting thing is that I was able to play... I was able to easily play Quest Probe 2 Spider-Man.
Oh, that's the one I wanted to play. That's the only reason I wanted that one to work.
And now, the one thing that I'll say about that game, which just threw me off, is the fact that it's a text-based game. And I have not played a text-based game in, well, decades.
Yeah.
And so trying to get my mind to rethink about text-based gaming is really hard. You know, we're used to the idea, sure, we'll play a game and we'll get lost. That's no problem. But we'll eventually, you know, like run around and you'll find where you need to go. In text-based gaming, you will never find where you need to go.
Because you can't see that you're wrong. It just tells you you're wrong.
Yeah, yeah. So in this case, you could go, it was based on north, south, east, and west. So you had to, like, talk about north, south, east, and west, which was fine. Thankfully, it gave you the exit. It told you where the exit was for each room that you went in. But the problem was that I had no clue. So you'd walk into a room, there was Hydro Man and an aquarium. You'd walk into another room, and there was the Sandman and something else. You'd walk into another room, and there was Madame Web. And then you'd walk into another room, and there was a couple of gems. So I was just like, grab gem. Whoosh! You know, screen goes white, and you're in, like, some level of hell, I assume. And then it's just like, I don't know what I did, but I go south.
Apologize for grabbing gems. Yeah.
I've either won or lost. Yes, I'm not sure which.
Yes. And then it's just like, so you kind of, it's like, grab aquarium. Okay, use aquarium. I'm sorry, I can't do that. Go north. No, I'm sorry. It's just like, you know, you start realizing, like, wow, I must have had the patience of a saint just to play these games at one point in my life.
Yeah. I remember when I first got the Hitchhiker's Guide to the
Galaxy. That's where I was going to go.
It was a text-based game, Zork,
you know? And I couldn't figure out the first command because I hadn't read the books.
Yeah,
now, later on, I played again when I got the books, and you literally have to type the next sentence from the books in the text-based game to get to the next thing. Because no one on Earth is going to figure out you have to lay down in front of the bulldozer.
Yeah. actually, I did without ever reading the books when I was a kid. Believe it or not, I actually figured that out, but it did always piss me off that I never solved that game and that damn babble fish puzzle. Anyways, text-based games. The one that gets me that we didn't get a chance to play here was the Andy Cap. That kind of pisses me off. Now, not really a comic book, but a C64 game based on the British comic strip. Probably a little disjointed here because the Wings came just as we started talking about Andy Cap. we were chased inside by a wasp, running for our lives. Finished eating. We're back out here now doing the podcast. I was going to say about Anticamp, it's too bad we couldn't get this to work. This is a game based on a British comic book character, comic book strip character, really, that's iconic over there. I don't get it, because this is a character, he's not only a drunk, and he has played in the newspapers here and everything like that, too, here in Canada, and I'm sure all across the world, but he beats his wife regularly. So this is a video game where one of the goals was to try not to get caught by the police after beating your wife. So I had to play this because it's just so 1987 that something like this could even exist. It's so crazy and wrong on so many levels. But unfortunately, we couldn't get it to work. Any thoughts on that, guys? Just when you hear that, don't you just go, what the hell are they thinking?
Well, the thing is that I was actually able to get the screen up. Like, I got it through, and it did work to a certain degree. But the one thing that I will say about the C64 emulator was that, and I'm sure it's just based on the source, is that I had to put it to, like, the fastest speed imaginable, just because otherwise it was drawing the pixels on the screen, and you could sit there and fall asleep and just wake up in the morning, and it would still be drawing the lines on the screen, but... But when I got into Anticamp, it's great because there's a bunch of little icons, and one of them is the wife, another one is, like, money, and another one is alcohol. And unfortunately, the controls totally didn't work for me, so I was really, like, once I got into a loop, then it was kind of like, I couldn't play anymore, but but great stuff, I mean.
Yeah, just incredible, the I don't know, I don't get it. But oh well, so we didn't get a chance to try that really, like I say, MAME, the arcade one. And, you know, as we go on here, we start talking about some of these games and the frustrations we have from some of them. We'll probably start sounding like James Rolfe and the Angry Video Game Nerd. The language may get a little saltier than the average. We talk comics as we keep on drinking and talking about these games that were so frustrating on occasion. But the MAME one, we're able to do I was able to play the TMNT one, Brett, because I know these guys weren't able to get them at all. Couldn't get the Punisher one to work, unfortunately. I wanted to try that to contrast it to the Sega Genesis version that we did play.
Yeah.
The Superman one I was able to get to work. The Spider-Man one I was able to get to work. I don't know. What else was there? Do you able to play any of these at all?
No.
No, it's too bad. The Superman one's pretty good. It has. It came out in 1988. It's about the level of a Genesis game. Of course, that was before Genesis came out. It has got the great Superman music. You can fly. It's got the red Superman. The Spider-Man one, like, almost immediately you'll be playing, and it's just a side-scrolling beat-em-up, and Spider-Man's, like, about 8 feet tall, and really skinny and just hunched over, but what's great is almost right away there comes, you get attacked, is from 1991, you got the Scorpion attacking you, like, you beat up, you know, your generic bad guys, the Scorpion attacks you, then Venom's attacking you at the same time, and your move is, you can swing, if you jump and swing, you can do that, but you can also choose a Hawkeye instead if you want, or Black Cat, or the Submariner. Because when I think of Spider-Man, the other characters I think of...
I was just about to say, that does sound like Spider-Man's All-Star Squadron right there.
Isn't it? I mean, Black Cat I get.
I love that one in the arcade in the day.
Yeah, in the day. It doesn't... So what I love here is, you know, I chose Hawkeye, I'm like, so yeah, you can punch, and you can't even do the swinging because you haven't got the webs. So now you can't shoot. So now you could just punch and kick. So it's like, it's pretty crappy, actually. Yeah, TMNT is great though. But just like the Genesis one or the Super Nintendo one we played, it was really good. Just better voices, better,
yeah,
slightly
well,
better graphics.
Turtles in Time, graphic. Like that was one of my absolute favorites.
So much fun
in the arcade, no question. Especially if you got a group of four people together. I mean, then yeah you could rock that.
I was really disappointed I couldn't get the six-man X-Men one to work also. Because remember that huge booth that was a six-man X-Men one they used to have? That was a lot of fun. I couldn't get that to go, so that's too bad. But MAME, it updates regularly, and so it updates to the point where the ROMs can't work unless they're updated, too. So that's the problem with that. But all right, Brett, let's get into the ones we really could play. What do you got there on the list?
Well, you talked about Spider-Man, so now the Sega Genesis... Well, actually, I guess we should start with the regular Nintendo. We should kind of go up by
quality levels. Let's go up by levels, yeah.
So now we didn't... I don't think we had a Spider-Man one on the regular Nintendo.
I think there might be a Spider-Man game out there for it. I think there was a ROM that we placed out there that might be for that, but ended up in the wrong place or something, so...
Right.
Yeah, so we didn't...
I don't think we did, but
yeah,
we got plenty of games, though.
Oh, yeah, for sure. For sure. Like, the top of our list is the Superman game. And
which system were you in? The
the Nintendo.
Regular Nintendo. Remember? Yeah, I did try that. I did play that one.
Oh, my Lord, that Superman game. That was... Besides the fact that you're trying to press all the buttons, that it's very hard, which is a common theme amongst, you know, emulators and stuff like that, but... I love the fact that you had to choose a power, and you actually had to go out and like try to navigate your way through this maze of people. And then once you lost your power, oh, I'm sorry, you're done with your power.
Yeah, unless you pick up the power up again, you're done with the power. Yeah. So if you want to use X-ray vision, which there's some levels where the enemies, you can't see through buildings, and they actually explain this. I guess I did a little research on this game because this game is hated, and I didn't hate it. I thought Because it's like the characters look like the Final Fight characters, like, or not Final Fight, River City Ransom. These like really cartoony characters, like nothing like Superman or whatever. Like
Keith's wife would love them because they were all like really small bodies, really
small
big
bodies,
heads.
Small bodies, big heads.
Yeah, yeah. And but I didn't hate this. I'm like, they tried. They just, the Nintendo is limited, and they're you know, they traded all these different environments and you can fly to in these different places. You know, they put on all these powers and. It's like, this is probably a thing. You could talk to characters. They don't say anything. They just say things like, I hear there's an adventure happening and stuff like that. Like, they don't actually give you any clues, but you could talk to them all. And I feel like they really, really tried. And it's a really hated game. This game had the worst music for me of all the games, though. I hear the Japanese version has the music from the movies. Mm-hmm. And the one that we get just is a generic... Something like that. It sounds like R2-D2.
Sorry, what was that music like?
That's our new theme song right there.
And, no, not that good. That's probably what it was.
Extended version of that to be on the podcast.
I totally think you need to get it. You're in the wrong profession.
So... So anyway, so I'm playing this. I understand that like you can like choose like the X-ray vision powers, and that's to reveal enemies because there's invisible enemies. But you know, if you run out of the power, then you can't see them. They just kick the hell out of you because you run out of powers really quick. And
that is my least favorite part of Superman. I gotta say, I've always liked Superman, but the way he runs out of his powers,
and
it's
apparently
been a frustrating get thing this, for they said, writers and fans alike.
They said in the instruction manual that Superman can now only use this power to reveal hidden villains. He can't see through buildings because Lex Luthor has lined every building in the city with lead. That's right. Metropolis, small city, easy to do. Lined every one of them with lead.
I bet he did. He would have done the schools first.
Oh, probably. Yeah.
Kids like their lead.
It's been so long since I've actually. Paying any attention to Superman. Is lead still a problem for him?
Yes.
It is. Okay, they haven't retracted that at all.
Yes.
I think it's not the lead
that's in your pencils.
Now it gives him Superman cancer. Yeah.
In that what's in a pencil isn't lead. That's
correct. Yeah, it's not that kind of lead. That's
it's
fine.
Carbon.
Carbon. Yeah.
So what's in a pencil.
Yeah.
But, yes.
But it'll put lead in your pencil.
That'll put lead in your pencil.
Yeah.
I just don't know if we've had the new 52 ruling on lead in Superman.
I don't think we have
and
to.
Now I'm unsure, just because you've asked the question three times. Somebody may be less sure at the time you ask.
We'll move on. We'll move on here. Anything else anybody wants to say about this? You did play this. You said you two both played it. You both,
yeah.
Chris and Keith.
Once I had to select the power, I'm like, I think maybe I'm just going to move on to the next thing.
The absolute thing that, at least they tried.
Because again,
they tried. I think they tried.
Again, Superman's powers... and thinking time. Because they've given him... Who is that? Ultra Boy from Legion of Superheroes, where he has Superman's powers,
right,
so he can use
only one
at
a time.
That's who he is.
He has to basically make the decision of having one at a time. This is really an Ultra Boy game. But
it really is.
But for marketing purposes, you had to call it Superman.
Yeah, Ultra Boy and his flame Lois Lane.
No. Yeah, and Jimmy. I love when you
cub
talk
reporter.
To Jimmy. Hey, I'm Cub Reporter Jimmy. Right? Yeah. Cub Reporter K. Stuff is happening. Go
go get your story. Yeah. And yeah, there's a guy who goes, I'm the copy editor. Go get me a story. It's not Perry White. It's just, I'm the copy editor. Go get me a story, right?
Some kind of weird licensing thing. They probably had a Perry White TV show in development. Couldn't use the character.
Oh, wow. Okay, Brett, what's next on the list?
Awesome. Well, let's talk about, this should be fast, so we can talk about the Silver Surfer.
Oh, my God. Chris, what do you want to say about the Silver Surfer?
I got killed by a duck.
It must have been a cosmic duck.
I don't know. I was playing, and this game is really, really hard.
No kidding.
I was playing, you got to... choice of levels, which I kind of like that you could choose the villain you're going to fight. I chose reptile.
I didn't get there.
I chose the reptile character.
Yeah, right.
And I survived the first two obstacles, which the other guys I think will agree.
That's impressive.
Is really. And then I see a little duck, and I think it's a power-up or something, because a little duck has no business being in this space lizard's fight that I'm in. I collected and died. That was the farthest that I ever went. I will say I really did appreciate the music in this one. Sort of a heavy metal MIDI guitar riff going on there. Enjoyed
in
that.
In
8-bit.
Yeah.
And and I love the choice of villains. I also tried fighting a Fire Lord, and that didn't go any better.
Star Lord isn't it? Star Lord or is it Fire Lord?
Fire Lord. Fire Lord. I don't know why you're looking at me. I got killed by like whatever came before the duck. dreamed of making it all the way to the duck.
A static duck. He was just like part of the scenery or something, and I ran into him thinking he was a power up and died.
What pissed me off about the game was the fact that you got the surfboard, the goddamn surfboard. You're surfing along, you pass one of the bullets, and then you veer away to miss the next one, and the back end of your surfboard hits the back end of one of the bullets, and boom, you're dead.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah.
Really? There was a whole lot of boom, you're dead.
Yeah, yes.
I've never seen a game that had so much boom, you're dead.
Actually, the boom, you're dead didn't bother me as much as every time you died, you had to retreat to the I'm dead screen.
Oh, yes. Silver Surfer hunched over.
The tragic Silver Surfer.
And sorrow.
And then you had to wait for the level to load again. No, just like, let's put another surfer in there. And you got like 5 lives. So that was a significant amount of the gameplay.
Here's the thing, I had 5. Too many. Yeah, well, I had 5 lives. I don't think the longest one of those lives lasted was about 18 seconds. I don't think I lasted.
Do you get an extra life if you run into the duck?
I wish. And here I am.
That's
I thought. Because there's a Silver Surfer. I picked a Fire Lord, and then I picked, I can't remember who else, but there's one that's a side-scrolling one and one that's an overhead view. It doesn't matter. Like, they're all it's like they're shooting 4 billion things at you. One hit, you're dead. Here I am. I'm the Silver Surfer. I'm out in space. The edge of my board touches the edge of this meteor that you're in this path along. You're dead. I mean, here I am. I'm flying on a surfboard. I am possibly the most powerful character you can possibly be. I'm the cosmic power, the Silver Surfer, the power cosmic, whatever. Sorry, the power cosmic, the Silver Surfer. Incredible. He can lift 100 tons. He can shoot all this energy. He can fly through a sun, no problem. And I'm flying on the surface, and it's white. And suddenly, most of it turns to black. And but you're flying over it, and you start to fly over that, dead.
I actually... The longest I ever lasted, which I said was the duck one, that's a lot. The longest I ever lasted was the first time I played before I figured out the keys, and I never touched anything. That was the one I got the farthest.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much it's like you're the power cosmic, you're the Silver Surfer, fly along, touch anything. Touch a meteor, touch a duck, touch a black surface, dead. You're dead. You're Silver Surfer, dead.
Oh, yeah, I did much better when I had no idea what I was doing.
Yeah.
Well, once I actually figured out what I was doing, then I was screwed.
Yeah.
Like, again, that is one of the reasons why I don't like Silver Surfer as a character. Just far too weak.
Yeah, that's it.
Just, I mean, him, the Silver Surfer versus Howard the Duck was just ridiculous.
Yeah, remember. Just,
we all know that Silver Surfer's Achilles heel, Duck.
Oh, absolutely. And you know what? I hate a character that like, if a wind blows too hard, he's dead. So, yeah, this is bad. Brett, what's next on the list?
Well, there's Batman, which is right from the 1989.
That was the one that was... I played all these in, like, about 2 hours, so some of them blend together. That's the one that's just him and, like, street thugs.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
then you fight a big villain.
Yeah.
That's all of them. What are you talking about?
Yeah. I said to Mo as we started, that as we were coming over here, that... I said, you know, my favorite, the side-scrolling one.
Yeah. Oh, totally.
Because I think I played one game that wasn't just a side-scroller.
This one's actually surprisingly well thought of, believe it or not. I mean, I think it's actually based on the movie property. More
it
than
is,
yeah.
Totally based on the movie.
But the thing is, to me, it's like, oh, yeah, it's not a bad game. It's not really a good Batman game. He's throwing stars, shurikens. It's like they took, another game and just put the sprites over it to me. But, I just a generic beat 'em up.
Yeah, like, I completely don't. I played it today, and right now the only thing that I can remember is the like, rudimentary animation of the Batmobile from the Burton movie, and Batman standing beside it.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
Like, that's the end of my memory of the game right
now. Actually, that was the best part of the game.
Yeah, well, yeah, it
is actually the art renditions, look compared to the movie... were extremely well done for NES.
For 8-bit, absolutely. Yes. Yeah, no question.
Yeah, too bad the gameplay. Not why so, is he throwing stars? Why not a Batarang?
I just assumed those were Batarangs.
They weren't. I looked really close.
I did a lot of assuming, though.
Yeah.
It's easy to assume in this case. Captain America and the Avengers.
Oh, my God. This is awful.
Oh, wow. It was...
Is it a side-scrolling game?
Yeah, oddly enough.
Actually, not... Well...
It was totally a side-scrolling game.
Yeah.
It had different levels.
Yeah.
You know. But the thing that killed me about it is that I wound up leaving it at a certain point. And so, like many of the games, it goes on to the demo mode. So, on the demo mode, I can see Captain America. He's jumping way up and hitting these things. And I'm like, that's funny. I wasn't able to do that. So, I'm like, I'm gonna try this again. So I'm, like, mashing the buttons, and it's just like, I can't jump that. Why can you jump like that on the demo?
Well, that's it again. I mean, you're playing this thing, and you're like Hawkeye or Captain America.
Yeah.
Because Captain America and the Avengers. So that's good enough. That's two. And
I don't know why Hawkeye complains about not getting enough love. I mean, he's in every single goddamn
Spider-Man, game. Captain America, he's everybody's pal. So... So the thing is, from Daddy East, there was a great arcade game, Captain America and Spider-Man, had the Vision America.
Yeah.
Yeah, it had the Vision, and it had Captain America, Hawkeye, and Iron Man. Yeah, it was awesome. I love playing as the Vision. So I thought
like
that's what this was.
I'd like to be 100% clear, my memory is that was a great game.
Yeah.
I'm sure that if I found that one tomorrow.
I actually got so pissed off that this game wasn't that game.
That's the problem.
I sort of turned it off.
You're assuming it's going to be that game, and it's not that game, that great game. No. That was so much fun. And I think that game probably holds up pretty well.
That game actually kind of sucked, but...
No, I think it was pretty good, because you kind of had powers, at least. Like, the same thing here. You have Captain America, and you have a shield. You have a billion enemies coming at you. You duck down, thinking you're behind the shield. But they shoot stuff. It still hurts you. That shield doesn't do jack.
The only way that I found is if they're shooting straight on level, and you actually just stand.
Yeah.
Then the shield just stays in front of him.
But if you duck because he's shooting low, you're screwed.
Yeah, and the second that you launch that shield, forget it.
Yeah,
and you know the timing for Hawkeye was
awful. Yeah,
like that was the one of the worst parts.
I couldn't get too far in this one either.
No, oh no, I certainly didn't get to the end of the first level. That was a big time quit. Now, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, I think, was this the one that. I think this is the one where you're a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle and you had to run around the city to find an open manhole and then climb down.
Yeah, that was the one.
And you get to go through all the different turtles.
Before you die.
Every single time Splinter comes up and says, "Oh, Donatello has been captured. Which turtle would you like to try next?" 5 seconds later, "Oh, Michelangelo's been captured." You know,
well, because there's no difference between any of them, and it's an overhead view, like you say. It's not a side-scrolling beat-em-up.
Well, there is.
There is, though, when you climb down, yeah.
But
that was awful, too. You can barely move.
Oh,
really stiff controls.
And some of the attacks, like with the bow stuff, the attack is down.
Yes.
So you actually always have to be aiming down to attack anything that's coming at you.
Yeah.
You can't just, like, swing it.
No.
Because
could swing it up. There was a way to do that. I managed to do that a couple times. But that still doesn't help you when the guy's standing right in front of you.
No. No, that's for sure. And heaven help you, if you got between the bow staff and the turtle, the enemy.
Yes.
Because then enemy kill you. Most halfway out here behind the enemy. Yeah.
Oh, it was really, really just...
Totally useless.
Yeah. All right. You guys have anything to say about that, or we move on?
I didn't play this one.
I played it for about 2 seconds and went, yeah, we're not going to talk about this.
Well, because the thing is, you see TMNT, you're thinking that arcade one or the Super Nintendo one, at least the same style.
Yep.
It's nothing like it.
No.
No.
Well, and one of them, I actually just ran around the corner, ran into a tank, and that was immediately it. It was
yeah.
You know, oh, okay, well, thanks. That was good to know. The one that I saved for last was my favorite of the bunch by a long shot, Punisher.
You can't be serious.
I liked Punisher.
I liked Punisher, except for a key thing, so I want to hear what Chris says.
Yeah, totally.
Okay. I still have a headache from that freaking music. Worst music in the bunch of we play.
I actually just wound up turning most of the music off because I knew it kind of was suck.
Oh.
And you don't need music to play these games.
No. Now, we should describe this game. Basically, you're a target. There's very little Punisher in this game.
Well, he sits there.
You just
there.
Point the gun and shoot.
Yeah, no,
it's like Duck Hunt.
Yeah.
World's worst game.
Duck Hunt.
Duck Hunt.
Those
sucks.
Are them's fighting words.
Yeah. Duck Hunt had the light gun, though, so this doesn't have that. This is more like...
What's this spell for? I wondered if this was made for the light
gun. It might be.
It might be. That would actually make sense.
Actually, this game would... Like, I would
it
like
would actually
this
be
game.
Quite good for the light
yeah.
gun.
Yeah, it would be fun.
That would totally be
The problem I have with this game is that there's actually about... There's only three bad guys.
Yeah.
One of them you don't see very much. The rest of the game is... a black guy and a yellow-skinned guy that you just shoot over and over
and over,
and
over again.
Yeah.
Because as soon as one of them appears, they shoot at you.
Yeah.
There's like one civilian I saw in like 20 minutes of this game.
I just shot everybody. I mean,
if you don't shoot
him,
he gives you like a little... Gives
so
you like
I mean,
a free
the
life
thing is, for me, is I'm sitting there shooting everybody, but I'm dying, right? I'm like getting shot. Then I didn't, because I'm so busy concentrating on shooting everybody, I didn't realize when you're moving the gun, you also are moving your character.
Yeah.
So you have to, like, it's moving your character at the same time as, you know, as you're moving and you necessarily where you have to move your character to avoid the bullets isn't where you have to move your character to aim. So that was a little confusing. But once I kind of got the hang of that, I actually had fun with this one.
Did anyone actually see the iconic skull Punisher icon anywhere in this game?
At the beginning,
okay.
Yeah.
Well, and the character, I mean, you see the Punisher, but his back's to you, so you just assume it's the Punisher.
Yeah, it's a guy in a black shirt with black hair and
some white trim, that time. But, you know, the one thing that I'll say about this game, again, is just that it was totally different.
It wasn't
a side-scroller. It fit, like, it's a goddamn Nintendo game. I mean, it fits perfectly with the size, and... At least the side.
The Punisher has a gun. He can get different guns, and he can shoot people.
Yeah.
That's what the Punisher does.
Hello, that's all I need out of Punisher.
Yeah,
straight up.
Definitely. Okay, Brett. Let's move on. So, what are the systems we got left then? Just the Genesis and Super Nintendo?
Genesis, Super Nintendo. If anybody played the Nintendo 64.
No, I didn't. I didn't do those.
I actually did. I could.
Which one was the 64 one?
Yeah, talk a little bit about the N64 ones then, Brett.
All right, we'll go.
Turok.
They're not on the list. Yeah, there was three.
Oh, no, I didn't play those.
There was three Turoks.
Shadow Man.
Shadow Man, which it was great because. my son really wanted to sit beside me when I was playing all these games, and it would be he would just do
a great job. Sure. Yeah, Daddy's working, and he's watching you going, Daddy, you're the greatest job. Daddy's working, playing games. I gotta see this, Dad.
Daddy's gotta finish his homework.
He would tell me which characters to take in most of the games. So
yeah, of course, yeah.
So that was fun. But yeah, so I started Shadow Man. And the only problem is that with the N64 emulator, all of the sync was way out.
Yeah.
So, like, by the time you got through this, especially in Shadow Man, there was a massive volume of story, like 5 minutes of story at the end, or at the beginning. And by the time you're, like, you reach the end, the screens are still going, but all the talking is completely done. And so it was kind of like, blam. And so then I wound up to the next part of story, which I assume was closer to the game. And what happened was, the guy was like, I can't believe this shit. And I'm like, bam, all right, so that's enough of that one for now.
You know? Yeah, you don't want that to hear. Your son's not too old, so.
So, as I remember, I mean,
they never said shit in the comic books.
Oh, yeah.
I think this was the Garth Ennis version of Shadow Man that was launched after the
original. Makes sense. The claim one?
Totally, because it was the Legion vampire, like a whole bunch of vampires looking for a...
Oh, yeah, that would be a little more still, yeah.
But yeah, I was amazed that it was N64, because Nintendo's not known for their swearing allowed on their games.
But, no, that's right, yeah.
Right. So yeah, there was that. There was a Spider-Man game, which was actually really challenging just because of all the buttons.
Mm-hmm.
Because basically...
Yeah, doesn't the N64 have like a controller with a billion buttons on it?
It does have a lot of buttons. And so what kind of happens is that you've got to... Like, again, no problem if you're using a controller because you used one of the sticks to aim yourself and the other one to actually move yourself forward.
Mm-hmm.
So that's okay, but it's not so good when you're talking about buttons. And then you get into a fight. It took me forever just to learn how to fight. I'm like going to
control map. Oh, yeah, if you're just using the keyboard, right?
Kind of thing. And then you'll like swing across, and you can almost never get yourself aimed straight on at a building. So
I got to say that it only took about two or three games for me to think, oh, yeah, now I remember why I've never used an emulator. These were designed for a very specific controller.
Yeah, no doubt. So yeah, with the Spider-Man game, I would flip on it, and every time you had a question, and it came up to a badly rendered black cat telling you the answer to the question, kind of thing, and how to do something. And
why black cat? Why not say Hawkeye? Somebody more. Yeah. You know, more associated with Spider-Man.
Yeah, totally. So, but overall, I mean, there's a lot of swinging, there's a lot of fighting, but it could be good, but I just think that it was just way too hard on that case. And then there was a Superman one, and the thing that
The Superman 64 is one of the most iconic. Like basically, the list of worst video games in history is E.T. for Atari, Superman 64. Like it's a neck to neck 1-2 race on worst game ever created.
Well, the thing that was is I was actually enjoying the game for a bit.
What?
When I figured out how to actually punch. Because at the beginning, like, the button control, your optic blasts. But the problem is that your optic blasts take about 300 shots to defeat the bad guy. And
that may be a theme through a lot of Superman.
And so you can just get them. It's one of those cheap games. So, you know, you get them in a corner and just...
Yeah.
Bam, 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 bam. You know, like, and they're done. So eventually I learned how to punch, which, oddly enough, punching takes up way more energy than that. And then you can kind of get the flying and down thing. But all the enemies are exactly the same, pretty much.
The graphics are bad, again, right?
Like, they're pretty bad. There's three types of enemies, and it's just constant throughout that. But the number one thing that I'm thinking is that you've got these guys who are just walking around punching you, and Superman is losing energy, and I'm like, this is Superman!
Yeah.
Stop it!
Yeah.
That is every Superman game I've ever played.
Yep.
There's always the, like, you know, guy on the street, and there's, like, the thug comes up and starts punching, and if your health moves at all, in the Superman comics, the thug could walk up and punch him for, like, a week and a half.
Yeah.
And nothing would ever happen.
Yeah.
Superman would go to sleep, get him some food.
not even have notice. A shower. The guy's still punching him.
Yeah, not even notice. Yeah, I mean, Superman could have a nuclear bomb dropped on him. But a thug, if he hits him hard, you know, that's my problem with Superman, often, though. Just too weak.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then the final three Turoks, which I actually stopped
playing. The Turoks were big hits.
You know what? I can believe it, because quite frankly, I think that with updated graphics, the Turoks would stand amongst the games that we play today, you know, the first-person shooters. I mean, it's that similar kind of thing. What I actually just stopped playing them for was because, again, the controls were extremely hard.
Yeah.
I just wanted to see the storyline. Like, it's interesting that, you know, okay, Turok number one, Dinosaur Hunter. You're actually facing dinosaurs and you have to get things. Turok number two is like you... Wow, I don't even remember, but it was like, I think, Seeds of Oblivion or something like that. Or that might be the third one. The next one, you're in space. Okay. And there's a dino race that's taking over. Yeah. I didn't get very far in it, but
if you remember, the original Turok started off in the past, and then to integrate them into the Valiant universe, they did do a spectacular job of moving him into the future so he could cross with other characters, and they made this whole dino... cyber dino race that he could
that was Mike
fight.
Mike Grell had taken it over by that point.
No. That was Tony Bernard, I think.
Bedard,
because he actually kept on with the character and wrote the direct-to-DVD movie that came out about, I'd say, 6 years ago now. Nice. So he's been with the property for a long time. And I thought he wrote all the Turoks, but I seem to remember a Grell in there too. But
yeah, I think Grell Truman
did a little bit. Truman did a lot of the Valiant stuff.
Yeah,
but those are both artists. So
Truman, Truman's been writing for 30 years.
But Truman is predominantly an artist.
Grell's been writing forever too.
Yeah. Both have done work.
Yeah, but
we're going to move on to another thing. But I'm going to look this up.
Yeah, right now your iPhone.
I don't have the problem we usually have where I can't type because we're recording. I've got my iPhone. It makes very little noise while I look stuff up and prove you wrong.
Be looking up that. Well, I was just going to say, Brett, I'm really sorry now I didn't play these because these do sound fun.
Well, you know, the thing is that this is one case where I actually kind of wish that I hadn't gotten rid of the Nintendo 64 because I would love to grab it just so that I could play the Turok games, because the third one, they carry on the story. Like, the original Turok dies in it. And then you have a choice of who gets the Turok power, and it's his sister or his little brother. So you can kind of you can play either one of them.
That's cool too.
It's very puzzle style.
Yeah,
in its own way.
Destructible environments. I seem to remember that it has destructible environments or something.
Oh yeah. Maybe it does. I mean, I didn't get very far in it again. Really hard.
We're just sampling it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so let's move on then to what we actually did play. Why don't we do, we have Genesis and Super Nintendo. Let's start Genesis with, do the Genesis, Nintendo. And then end with Super Nintendo.
All right. So anyways, the Genesis. So, well, let's talk about, there's so many Spider-Man games. Let's just start with Spider-Man. Spider-Man versus the Kingpin?
Yeah. I remember this game, Spider-Man vs. the Kingpin. It was one of the early, actually, games. I got a Genesis system fairly early into its lifespan. I can't remember why. Some problem with my Nintendo. I heard this was newer. Heard it out of fake graphics. Tried it. You know, it took me a while to actually get into it. But, one of the very first games, though, I got and played and rented was this game. And I loved it at the time. I loved it so much. So I play it again here now, and you're going, oh, it's not going to be very good. It's a very early, probably first 6 months, maybe even earlier, close to a launch game for the Genesis Master System there. And I still love it. I still think this is really, really good. You can do... Spider-Man has all these powers. The animations are really good. There's a good storyline with cutscenes and the Kingpin. You have all these different enemies. like I say, the powers are really, really, the animations are good, the powers are good. You can crawl up on the ceiling, crawl on the walls. There's no place you can't crawl. You got webs, you got spider sense, you're super strong. I think it's a really fun game, and I think I seem to remember it had an intriguing storyline. Of course, I haven't gotten that far again on here, but I still think this is a good game.
Yeah, maybe it was the fact that I was playing it with a whole bunch of other Genesis games that were not good. And so I didn't have any enjoyment with it.
No?
Yeah. It was one of those games. It was another one of those games where I was defeated by a ledge.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's because Spider-Man can go everywhere. I don't see how you could have that problem. But maybe, I don't know, maybe he just didn't explore his powers enough.
Yeah.
So, probably it.
And
like you say, it's easy to frustrate when you're frustrating with other things. Yeah. But. To me, maybe it's just nostalgia, but I don't think so. I think this is a really good game.
I had problems dying in this one.
Really?
Yeah, you'd be climbing on a building and you'd jump and fall off, and you'd catch on the next building or something.
Yeah.
Really, I didn't think the difficulty was there in a lot of cases.
No, it's not the hardest game. No, unless you've come across a ledge.
Yeah. The evil ledge monster.
Did you play it, Keith?
No, I didn't play any of this pile.
You didn't play any Genesis games?
No.
No?
Okay. All right, well, that's too bad, because that meant that you missed out on...
Probably the best game of the whole thing.
Firstly, Maximum Carnage.
Oh, not the best thing. But later on, we might get the best,
we will
game.
Talk
we probably
about
missed out on
I
it.
Think is the best game, absolutely.
Yeah, Maximum Carnage. It still has that great Maximum Carnage song, rendered in 16-bit glory. Yeah. Genesis sound system is actually closer to 8-bit. Its sound wasn't as high as Super Nintendo's by any means. They did a pretty good job in this game. I mean, they took the Maximum Carnage crossover. You had lots of characters. You could be Spider-Man or Venom. Play two-player. It's a beat-em-up, but had lots of... And, of course, for that reason, has a lot of generic characters. But you had a really good job of the powers, and they had a really good job of rendering the different powers between Venom and Spider-Man and make them distinct, too. And I like that. I always liked this game quite a bit.
Yeah, I think Maximum Carnage is a fine game. Like, it's not a terrible game. It's not a great game, but I had it when it came out, and
yeah, we played it quite a bit.
For sure.
Yeah, I think that's actually when we had our comic book store. It's one of the games we were renting.
I think so.
Yeah.
As I liked it better than the crossover, but
who didn't?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, you guys said it all. A good game, but I'm not going back to play again, I don't think, so.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. but what really gets me is the follow-up, Spider-Man and Venom Separation Anxiety. Now, there was the game I think that they must have just taken the basic engine from it, and spent zero time with the actual look of Spider-Man. Because here's the thing, Maximum Carnage came out before, and Spider-Man and Venom look way better than they do in Separation Anxiety.
Yeah, it's amazing when you have a game, a sequel, that regresses like this one did in gameplay, and the animation, and the graphics,
just
and
everything.
And then you had that horrible, super long opening sequence.
Oh, yeah.
Get to the game! Get to the game.
Oh, yeah. Separation Anxiety is one of the worst games that I played. Just because of the fact that, you know, I'm Spider-Man. I can't do anything.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, I'll try Venom. I'm Venom. I can do slightly more than Spider-Man. Which is
slightly,
to say, not much of anything.
Yeah.
I'll tell the truth. The opening sequence was way too long. I never actually played.
It's incredibly long.
Oh, yeah.
It's unbelievable.
And spacebar doesn't get you through it.
No.
Nothing does.
Nothing does. No, there's no way to skip it. It was awful.
Yeah. Spider-Man and the X-Men, Arcade's Revenge.
No, that's the worst. This is worse than that. This is worse than Separation Anxiety.
Actually,
this is...
I forgot a game that I tried. There's an X-Men game for the regular Nintendo.
Yeah.
And honestly, the graphics are so awful, it actually looks like a Commodore 64.
Oh, that one. Yeah. It's an overhead scrolling one.
Game, yeah.
I don't know if you guys played this one. The overhead scrolling X-Men game. Where all the characters are just like this bulky block.
If you didn't have the colors, like honestly, if like the colors were the only way that you could tell who you were playing. That
so,
was it.
Yeah, exactly. And it has the different guys and shows like this guy's faster, this guy's more endurance, this guy's more strength. Not that that actually plays into the game in any way.
Not at all.
Or made any difference in how they behaved.
Nope.
So I'm saving like the most powerful characters. Everybody, you have to go through them all. I'm saving like Colossus and Wolverine for the end. But it didn't matter because, again, it's another thing where a duck could have killed you. We didn't run into a duck in this one. But if you had had a duck hit you, it would have killed you. No matter. Wolverine killed by a duck. That's one thing that you could have heard in this just as easily. Because everything could kill you. It's, you could barely move. You could barely, like your attack was a punch. And I mean, it's like imagine if you were to punch. I can't. I wish this was a video audio. Oh, yeah, this is an audio podcast. Yeah, but totally. It's like the littlest little like yeah. The 1-inch punch from Bruce Lee yeah. is yeah, not totally. Effective in video game form.
Yeah. But that's what they were giving us right there. The 1-inch
yeah.
punch.
I am not what, sure what
killed me.
What master of medieval torture originally came up with and designed this game.
But that one might be my least favorite game.
Oh, awful.
Because it looks bad and it plays bad.
Well, but the opening sequences with the different characters, you see them and the
yeah.
you know, the opening graphics, you're like, oh, this is going to be good. And then they actually get to the game, you're like, oh, no.
Yeah, that's not good. That's yeah. not good. But no, neither is Arcade's Revenge.
Yeah, Arcade's Revenge. Oh, my God.
Way bad.
Chris, did you play Arcade's Revenge?
No, I don't remember this one. I must have skipped
over. The X-Men have been kidnapped. Spider-Man must save them. I believe this was another one where I got...
Is Hawkeye helping them? No. Spider-Man and the X-Men already.
And but I believe that I got beaten by a ledge. So
yeah, no. And once again, Spider-Man's most deadly villain, the ledge, yes. shows up in this game. Yeah. You can't get past the ledge.
I want to take a moment to save our listeners a lot of money. So Christopher has been going through his collection. And he's given me the Captain Canuck Special Collector's Pack, which has Captain Canuck 1 and 2. And
you could have waited to the end of this game.
No. 3. I'm on like my 5th drink. No. Again, actually, the moment this occurred to me, I had to talk about it. Has the 3D cutout diorama. But I've realized that what's put in here to keep the book solid is from my old Tramps days, Tramps Music and Books, with a boss that was ridiculously cheap, and he found that you could buy brown cardboard and have it cut for like a tenth of the cost of a acid-free backing yeah. board. So all the stuff that was in the back issue bins, they would sell the regular boards to the customers, but all the back issue bins were just this brown cardboard. And that's what's in this book, put in this bag, has been sitting against this comic, I'm willing to bet, the full 20 years.
Yeah.
That since we worked at Tramps, Brett and I both worked at Tramps, and those acid-free boards that you pay 10 times the cost for this would do exactly the amount of damage as that brown board has done against the cover of this book, which is absolutely none. There is no damage to wow. this book
That's
having sat
impressive.
Next to that. So 1 cent for this board, 10 cents for the acid-free one that yeah. That you have been ripped off on every day you have been a comic fan.
That's pretty
years.
Incredible. That's pretty incredible. Now back to this game.
Absolutely. All
right. So it's called X-Men, Spider-Man and the X-Men in Arcade's Revenge. So you assume at some point in time you'll be able to play as the X-Men. But in order to get past that, what happens is you get out there and you can jump up, you're Spider-Man, you beat there's a robot thing, and you punch it and it's gone. Then you run over and jump at some more ledges. I wish people could see me as I'm describing this, physically doing the motions of jumping and shooting my webs and stuff. But you beat the next robot because there's another one, and then you can't get on this ledge that you think you have to go at. So what you do is you go around it and you go to the bottom. And then when you go to the bottom, and then you go around again, another tunnel, and then you come back up to the beginning. and you're like, you try that again another time, and now there's no enemies or anything, except for fun.
Yep.
So you just go around and you go, there must be a way because I can't get on that ledge. And you realize there is no way, so I have to get on that ledge. So now what I'm doing, are you recording this? So now what you're doing is you're trying to get onto this ledge, and I try jumping, I try swinging. You can swing and jump in the game, but the thing is, when you try and swing and jump in the quit filming me. And if you try swing and jump to get to this ledge, you hit the ledge so fast, there's no way you have time to jump.
Yep.
And you don't get past bonk, the first...
Bonk, bonk.
I played the game bonk. For a half hour.
Yeah.
A half hour. But I got as far in the first 1 minute as I got for the remaining 29 minutes trying to figure out a way past this. And there's no enemies to even make it fun to beat up. This is the worst thing ever.
The enemies, there's a couple of games where once you beat all the enemies, then you are simply limited.
And the graphics weren't even like Nintendo quality, nevertheless Genesis quality.
Yeah.
Brutal.
All right, so does anybody remember the Batman game?
Which
for
we've done all the Spider-Man games?
That was all the Spider-Man, all 9,000 of them.
Which Batman game?
I'm trying to think. Like I
so,
can't.
So there was a Batman and Robin one. Is that the one?
Oh yes. It was totally. It was the Batman and Robin. Yeah.
Yeah, I thought so. Yeah, that was the one based on the because there was a Batman and Robin and then a very different Batman and Robin game. I think for Super Nintendo that came out because you would get that occasionally that they'd have the same name. It'd be very different games. And I don't think we played that one.
No, we didn't. Yeah, this one was based on the animated series.
Yeah, but both were based on the animated series. And you're like, it's a great job as far as the graphics and looking like the animated series and the openings and all this stuff. But the problem was, again, I'm pretty sure this was Shinobi, and they just put these sprites over it because it was just tons of villains and tons of stuff coming at you super hard and lots of ninjas. You know, there's a lot of ninjas in the games we played, actually.
Yes.
Ninjas showed up a lot.
It's like there was a million billion ninjas.
They were a go-to bad guy for a long time.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, I mean, it's just, I thought this was, I was like, oh, this game looks like it could be fun if it wasn't so damn hard.
Yeah. Yeah, it was very hard. I didn't get very far enough, that's for sure.
I mean, I kind of liked the music, but it was a ripoff of... The animated series.
Well, it's not a rip-off, then. I mean, it's based on the animated series, so it's
still that.
It's loyal, is what that is. Loyal. Yeah. It's like the opposite of a rip-off.
Yeah. What else we got here, Brett?
Wicked. Well, there's a couple left. Well, we'll talk about The Punisher.
Yeah.
Now, The Punisher.
Game of the podcast.
It's too bad you didn't play this one.
It rocked.
Because there was, of course, and we had put it in the arcade one and couldn't get it to work. And I wanted to see how faithful it is because it seemed incredibly faithful. Because if you'll remember the arcade one with him and Nick Fury, the arcade... It was made by the same people who made that Vision Captain America Avengers one. And it was a lot like that, but updated. Great graphics, super smooth animations. You could get guns and shoot people in this, beat them up, and... just all sorts of great stuff. Oh, so smooth and so well balanced. You felt powerful. You could take out people, and yet there was a good challenge. This was awesome.
Well, and the thing that I liked about it is that, especially in these early games, there was different levels. Like you could go forward and kind of backward on the screen, like deeper and stuff. There was depth in the game, but the problem was that if you were on a different level from a character, you could literally just punch, and you would, and they could be beside you, but you're not hitting them.
Yeah.
In any way, shape, or form. This one, at least if you had the gun and stuff like that, even if they were on a different level, it was targeting it. And so you would actually hit them. So you had a chance for success.
And a variety of weapons.
Yes.
Oh, a ton
of them. You had the gun, you had the bat, you had the axe.
Knife.
Yeah. Knife.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
A lot of fun there. My one thing is, I don't remember at any time in the comic books Punisher running out of bullets. And that happens a ton in this game.
I have to balance it a little bit. One of the things that gets me about this one is I played this at work during a lunch break, and I invited a guy over to play it with me. And so Kelly comes over, and we're playing it, and he's like, well, who am I? Who's this guy? I'm like, well, you're Nick Fury. He's playing it for a little while, and he goes, wait, the black guy from Avengers? And I'm just like, oh, sigh.
We got to fix that somehow.
I know.
That's awesome.
I mean, this appeared like a great game. The one thing that amazed me about this, and I guess I don't remember it from playing these or playing video games originally, but there's so many two-player co-op games.
Yeah.
And I just don't remember there being that many two-player co-op games.
That's because you had no friends.
That's right.
That's fair. I mean, who's he going to play them with? You?
Me? Yeah, that's who he was playing them with. Actually, I think we were so busy playing Contra for the Super over the regular Nintendo
I'm sure.
for every single moment of our lives.
There is no reason
between that and Madden. Contra. Yep. Yeah, between that and Madden, the Madden for your computer, the old...
Yeah, the original Madden.
The very first Madden. That was like block characters and
it was Joseph Madden's
pretty much yeah
old timey football
yeah pretty much it was footy not ball. The football you know
ball.
It was out on the computer only and
ye oldie footy ball
yeah it didn't keep stats but you could print the stats from every game and then keep your own stats and add them together we did pages and pages of stats and create your own league
because it was one of those old dot matrix awesome. Printers
oh,
and so
yeah.
at the end of it would print off like it would literally be like a 10-page
for like one game
for one game and I would sit there listening to like Iron Maiden and I would just sit there watching the game marking tackles and then because
they didn't keep those
and then
those they didn't keep so we, those we had to keep ourselves
yeah I would print off the stats and just put it off to the side I think we managed to get through one season like this you know I mean
yeah. I'm trying to imagine that in your head. That's not as geeky as playing Dungeons and Dragons.
Well, remember the same thing we had.
It's way more solitary.
Remember we had the yeah, that's right. This one, well, sometimes I'd be there helping you with it, but there were also the same thing we had. Tony La Russa baseball, which was a great baseball game, but it didn't keep any stats. And I'm like, I want my stats kept, and you're like, well, you pay, I'll watch you, and I'll keep your stats. So that I would play and bat, and Brett would mark down everything and do everything, and we did like a whole 162 games like that. And I'm like.
Yeah,
I don't know why.
Yeah, we were...
Suddenly, playing strip poker on my Commodore 128 doesn't seem as much of a waste as it did 10 minutes ago.
Well, actually, I don't think we made a whole season.
Let's have an off-topic aside.
Yeah, because we haven't done that already.
What is the geekiest thing that you kept track of? Well, these guys may have already done theirs.
I don't know that I can ever beat... Sitting there doing that.
I had a complete in a database because the school had database software, so and I had to put it onto a floppy disk to keep the file. I had a complete database of every paranormal in all the New Universe comics.
Yeah, that's pretty bad.
Which was because I wanted to relaunch the New Universe when I became a comic book writer, and, so I needed that research.
I gotta say, besides that one, I used to. Because I'm a big wrestling fan, obviously, co-host We Talk Wrestling still to this day. And so I used to have my He-Man figures from when I was like 8, 9, 10, 11. And I would have them wrestle. I never had them fight in like a tourney. I just had them in a ring. So I had this thing that used to, you know, you put your feet on when you're sitting on a chair. And it was square, so that was my ring. And so for like 4 years straight, I compiled every match and win and loss for all these like 40 characters I had. And whether they won by count out and who was the champions and rankings. That was crazy.
My little brother did that.
Yeah?
My little brother and my older brother. But my older brother was like way too old to play with toys, so I actually have no idea how they decided matches. But then my older brother would keep track of everything. My little brother was in charge of the matches.
You know who my world champion was for most of the 4 years? Believe it or not, Mossman. Not even lying. Mossman was ahead of... I didn't actually have He-Man. I had Adam.
He's such a heel, though. I mean, he was... Did you do it? I think they did like ringside interviews though. Did you do those?
Yeah. I had angles of people coming in and attacking.
We're gonna get emails that there's like 100 other people that listen to the show that have done this too.
Oh, probably. But well, here's the thing. The thing I like is I don't want to tell. Actually, I don't like. I'm not going to say to you, say your whole little brother is too old. I'm not going to say to you the last age I was when I did this. I will not publicly announce how old I was the last time I pulled out those and went, shit, that was fun. Put them on my thing, started playing, rustling them and realizing I should get out the paper and start keeping track. Wait, how old am I?
Who was on the card this morning? That's my question.
That's right. Who currently?
Oh man! When those toys
perennial.
Spike Orr was like the top heel. Remember him? Spike Orr. Yeah, and I used to when they started breaking, and then I'd have to be like, yeah, he's now a one-armed wrestler. It's okay. We'll just keep using him. He'll be a storyline.
My little brother and I used all of our Star Wars
figures,
all of our G.I. Joes to do a sequel to Star Wars. And now in 2015, if Star Wars 7 is not as good as what we invented with our G.I. Joes, in my mind, I'm going to hate that movie.
What if it's not your Star Wars?
It won't be my Star Wars.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, Chris, your geekiest thing you compiled, database wise.
No. This isn't database, but it is geeky and embarrassing, so I'll share it. I took the first 10 years of Sports Illustrated swimsuit issues, and if you remember back in the day, it was just the section, a section of Sports Illustrated.
That wasn't the full thing.
Yeah. I decided I took the first 10 issues and made my own Sports Illustrated. Just took the swimsuits out and made my own Sports Illustrated.
Did you do like a whole binding to it, or just staple it, or
I use masking tape.
Nice.
That's pretty good. And you know what? I remember this is we were in early 20s or mid 20s even then. I think we're in our early 20s. You and I worked together at the gas station.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're in our early 20s. And at one point in time, you came into me and you were saying, and you're like, I finally did it. I finished compiling my list that I've been working on. I'm like, what's the list? Well, I watched every James Bond movie, and I judged, basing on the James Bond, which movie was the most Bond and which character is the most Bond. Like, if he slept with a woman, 2 points. He slept with the same woman twice, 5 points. Like you had this entire thing.
I have a... Keep going.
Yeah, keep... And I just, you were like, if he says shaken, not stirred, 3 points. If he says, you know... And I remember you had this whole elaborate thing to figure out the most Bond-isms in a movie and per character and who was the most Bonded. And that was when I really looked at you and went, holy shit, I'm working with a geek. Keith is a geek beyond any level that I knew. That really occurred to me.
There were no points involved in
that. Oh, okay.
I kept track, but there were no points.
Okay. Okay, well, you saved it then.
And you know
it wasn't that bad.
You know what's funny was I was going to interrupt you because I had lost track of the conversation. And I was about to say, oh, I did something like that.
Yes, you did.
There were no points involved. I'd like to be clear.
Okay, so then how did you do it?
What I kept track of was how many times... If he said shaken, not stirred. If he ordered a vodka martini, actually, was, I think, the category. What I also discovered, though, is once you get into the Moore movies, how many times he loses the Walther PPK versus how many times he actually uses it. And Moore basically never used it, but lost it within 5 minutes of getting it in any movie. It was just something about, like... I mean, they move more away from being the violent assassin so much.
Yeah,
he lost his gun almost immediately in any movie he was in.
Yeah, so this is though when you're explaining to me this whole thing, because you had sat down and watched all of them at the time, 22 movies.
You're writing them down.
What's that?
Probably 16, 17. It would have been during the Brosnan. Brosnan did up to 20. So
it would have been during the Brosnan. So yeah, I probably was 17 or 16, somewhere in that range. But yeah, that you would sit there and write this down and track this and track who's. And I was like, wow. So that counts as quality geek right there. I appreciate it.
Also,
fist bump.
Also, everyone who's killed in a Friday the 13th movie and how
you did that. Yeah,
which I kept until I found someone who did it better than I had done it, and that was the end of that.
Nice. Yes. And remember, this is all before internet, so... Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the internet saved us, because now...
Well, yeah, I mean, the internet was there, but it was barely, you know...
Yeah.
It's like, yeah.
See, I'll just mention that I remember a time when Mo and I were both into the wrestling, and we created a dice-based wrestling game.
From scratch. That game was awesome.
It was very...
I don't care what anybody says, that was awesome.
No, I wish I could remember it to this day, because I'm willing to bet that we would still play it. But the best part was that we created our characters, we actually, like, wrote their entire bios. But then, afterwards, what we would do is we created ring entrance music. We had ring entrance music. And so, we would sit there with a ghetto blaster, and we would just play the song.
As that guy was entering. And Brett's character would enter, and his good, I'd be a good guy. And then my character would enter, and we'd play my music. I'd be the bad guy. Yeah, and then we'd have this, yeah.
Now, did you guys ever play fantasy wrestling?
We created our own. We couldn't have, the thing was, those ones you could get in the magazines or whatever... I tried one once and it was no good, and because a friend of mine had it, and then you could order those, but they were really, really expensive. So we thought, why the hell would we bother to order these? We just create our own, and that's what we did. And I still think, I don't remember how we did it, but I really think we had a good
friend in university used to send off his card in the mail
Yeah.
And then according to some sort of stat that
they would win or lose. Yeah.
They'd win or lose. And
yeah.
Oh, no, if I could remember, then honestly, I actually think we could...
Yeah, we have like a different way, like you'd have a certain amount of points for the guy, the guy could go up in his career.
Oh, no, like, it totally works.
Yeah, don't invite energy any of those if you ever remember.
He has energy, and when they got down to, like if you had 80 energy points and the guy pinned him, and you rolled in between like 5 and 11 or whatever, he would kick out. And then
smaller 60, guys had more energy.
Yeah, and when you had 60 energy points, you'd have to roll between a 5 and a 9. And then, like, to kick out. They just progressed. And I remember when Brett would pin me, I remember I had a champion. It had like 140 energy points yet. The only thing that wouldn't pin, I had to roll a 2 sixes, a 12. I had to roll that, or Snake Eyes. It was Snake Eyes. I had to roll 2 of Snake Eyes in order for him to win. And 2 seconds in, he beat me. And I was so pissed that I lost my belt.
But when I was a kid, I got this toy box that had a plastic play sheet of a dungeon. Like a castle dungeon, really scary. And it came with these plastic figurines that were like an orc, and there was a dragon for the center part. It was kind of Lord of the Rings-ish.
Yeah, I remember this. I remember something like this.
So it was just a fun thing, but my older brother had heard of Dungeons & Dragons, but had never actually come across it in real life. So he and my younger brother and I invented a dice-based game for this play sheet, thinking we were playing Dungeons & Dragons. So we basically like invented a whole new game we called Dungeons & Dragons. Using this play sheet. And the first time I encountered real Dungeons and Dragons, I'm like, oh my god, there's a lot of math to this. Don't we just roll dice?
Awesome.
That's great.
All right. And Brett, I seem to remember, we would lock up, the guy who rolled highest would lock up, he'd be the one allowed to put an offensive move.
Yeah.
And depending on how high your defensive level was, you could counter it. Oh, yeah.
Actually, I'm just going to tell one little last story because, why not? There was one time where I was working at Stage West, and there was this dishwasher there, and we became vague friends. I joined his band, and
I like that you're friends in quotation marks. It should be expressed to the folks at home.
Actually, yes. I find band in quotation marks.
That's funny because Brett and I were in a band all through high school. I mean, we never once had instruments on. But we wanted to be in a band, and we had ideas for songs.
Brett,
if we ever get around to this. We ever get around to
a band for a year and a half, and then we had a schism.
Yeah.
And just to save our friendship, we had to break up.
Yeah, we had to stop going out on tour so much. But so... this guy, he was really big into like the Robotech, which was like same kind of element as D&D, but what he actually had done was he had taken like several games of the dice based variety and he had actually kind of amalgamated them all. I mean, it was really, I'm sure it was extremely clever and stuff like that, but he invited me over and I created my character and I thought, wow, this is kind of cool. And he had a place, and he had it almost entirely dedicated to this. You know, should have had the warning bells going off right there. But then we go on, and I just created the character. I had to leave after that. But then he sits me down and he starts describing his plan on how he was going to assassinate the mayor. And I'm like,
oh my god.
I'm scratching my head. I left his house, and I'm like, I don't think I can go over there anymore.
No, ever. I don't think you can.
Brett, I'd like you to show me on this Captain Canuck comic where he touched you.
And then the funny thing was is that I managed to avoid him for a while after that. You know, I love Sage West, whatever. But for about every 5 years, for about 15 years afterwards, I would hear from him almost like just like an anniversary date. Like, he would call and be like, so, how's it going? And then, thankfully, I don't hear from him anymore, but it was just very creepy, but it just reminded me of, like, this moment in his house where, you know, the warning bell should have gone off right away when I saw how much of it was dedicated to these games, you know?
Just out of curiosity, what did he have against the mayor?
I have no idea. That was the worst part. He just had a really intricate plan on how to assassinate the mayor. I think it might have been an offline.
Oh, well, in fairness. I mean, if it was Al Dewar, then I would really wonder, but...
offline is understandable. Yeah.
I'm looking up to the
skylight,
and there's a big spider in the middle of the skylight, and I'm wondering which of us gets superpowers.
Excellent.
He wasn't there when we started the night, but
he's come out. He's well, hopefully, get rid of some of the bugs that come out.
Oh, what's next on the list?
Before we do, Brett, I just have to say now. So remember when we had already created our own wrestling game where I loved it. It was fun. And we finally got, actually, from Tramps, because I used to play Dungeons & Dragons every now and then, so did you. Not much, though, but enough that we had fun playing it whenever we played it. I was like, it was awesome. You and I got the Marvel Superheroes one. We're going to be Spider-Man. We go to play it. We play it for, like, an hour or two, and we're like, God, this is boring. Want to go play Contra?
Yeah.
Like, all this hype for forever, we wanted to play it.
I did that, too.
Yeah.
And you played, like... You bought like $50 worth of the crap.
Yeah, so much just junk. I had to buy them on installments because it was.
Yeah, and then you finally play it, and you're like, it's not fun.
You cut out all the little figures, and you got the map.
There was a lot of stuff. I remember constructing stuff for that, but never playing.
I spent way more time constructing than I did playing.
I was like, exactly, and I'm just like, oh man, let's just go play Contra. This is not working.
All you want to do is just create your own goddamn characters.
Yeah,
like that was really it. I want to create my own superhero.
Yeah,
but it was lame.
All right, Brett. All
right,
still on topic. Where were we?
Well, we have the last
Thank you for that brief aside.
Yes. We have the last one on Genesis, which ties us into the Super Nintendo, which I will say is the Tick.
Oh, didn't that actually, wasn't the Super, or was it Genesis not the Death and Return of Superman, or is that on Super Nintendo?
Super Nintendo.
Oh, okay, I thought it was on there. Yeah, the Tick, and it's almost, we talk about the games being different. What we didn't talk about here, because you must have missed it then, because there is one game that's on both systems. And that's Wolverine Adamantium Grey.
Oh, yes, it's not actually on this list.
I don't know how that got missed. This must have been...
Well, that was just crap.
It's on the Super Nintendo.
Let's talk them both when we get to the Nexus.
Okay, we'll talk when we get to the
Nexus. Let's talk the Tick, because
I want to... The Tick is very similar. The Tick is... And you can talk on this if you play this.
I didn't play the Tick.
Ah, it's too bad.
I can't believe you didn't play the Tick.
I think I put it last because I wanted to build up to it and then forgot about it entirely.
Oh, yeah, that would happen.
The Knights of a Million Billion Ninjas.
That was actually the name of it. Guess what? You took on ninjas. Yeah,
now I am really disappointed.
On the top of a bus, you took out ninjas.
Yeah, and then after, okay, you guys go first, and then I'm the main event on this one. Trust me.
Well, I don't know if it was a problem with the emulator, but it made me play the first level twice, despite the fact that passed.
Oh yeah,
and then I finally died on the second level's boss. Who I didn't recognize, who ran really, really fast.
That actually wasn't a... I don't think that was a boss.
That's a sub-story.
That's the subplot.
Subplot. Yeah.
This game had... That was one of the neat things about this game. Brett, go ahead and explain it.
Well, because what had happened to me was that I got through the early part of A Night of a Million Billion Ninjas, which is you fighting the ninjas on the bus. Now, on top of the bus. Now, what I will say about this, which was very annoying... More so, I was worse on it on the Genesis than the Super Nintendo, but perhaps that was because I played the Genesis one first. But you're on the bus, you're punching and kicking the ninjas, and then what would happen is that you would get just that little bit too close to the sides, and you'd start going like this, wobble, 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 and the next thing you know, there was no way to save yourself on it. You just automatically fell off the bus at that point. But the next level... And now here's kind of where I died, because at the end of the day, I ran into a ledge that I couldn't beat. But after you fall off, there's a point where it just throws you into a subplot. Now, I've seen like four different subplots. There was the Clark character.
Yeah, played the Clark.
Where you needed to grab the Kryptonite thing. There was the Red Scare, which was kind of easy. There was the speed one, which I never actually managed to defeat. guy I wasn't sure what to do, and then there was one other character which I can't remember, but every time, like, you, and the, you complete a subplot, and then after you completed the subplot, it kicks you back to the main game. But then I kept dying on the main game, and it kept kicking back to a subplot, and eventually I'm just like, oh, screw it, I can't do it anymore.
Yeah, no, that's the thing, though. I mean, it's a neat idea. Like, this this game was, like, a, such a near miss. Like because, I mean, it had the character, like, the character, based very much on, like, I mean, it had everything right. He says spoon. He says spoon.
Totally.
That was the most impressive thing about the game. We actually had a voice saying spoon, which on the Genesis was really advancing their technology.
It had these different characters. There's a point where you get a character, other characters, and you fight back to back with them. You have all these, like... Like, he jumps like the Tick would jump, and different animations for different jumps sometimes, you know. Like, just different things. Like, so much of the character's personality is there. And, but the problem is that the collision detection in this game was the worst thing ever. Like, you'd punch and punch. You'd have a guy right in front of you. You'd be punching them, like, 40 times. Punch around them, punch. You'd move up and down trying to get on the right level to punch him. Try and punch him. You'd still be punching at this ninja and never hitting him, and he'd be hitting you, and you'd be, don't know why. Or you'd line up, and you start punching him. You'd punch him two times. You'd go for your big finisher, was just like, flicking your finger, because he's supposed to be so strong, flicking off. But then that's, like, doesn't go very far, so he just misses. And then they start beating you up again.
Yeah, it's back to the Wolverine one-inch punch.
Not even that good. Boy, I wish my chair wasn't so squeaky. It's going to be all over the podcast. But yeah, I mean, I finally got to the second level, which is like this platforming level there, and you're jumping. So I get to the end of I'm going through it, I'm fighting through it. I get to there, I get to this, I see this big jump, right? So I go running up, and I jump my ass off. Because I can't see where I'm supposed to jump to. So I'm like, it must be just a huge jump. Let's make the biggest jump I can make. Get right to the edge of the ledge, jump my ass off, and I die. And then I go to the subplot, and I go and win that. And I get back up to the beginning, and I'm like, okay, I died. So I got to go a little more carefully to the edge of this ledge. Maybe I'm missing something. So I walk slowly to the edge of the ledge, and then it goes, level over. Level complete. You're just supposed to walk to the end of the ledge.
That's funny.
The problem was that I tried to jump, and in doing so, somehow missed the end of the level.
That's what I did all the whole time.
But yeah.
In both versions of the game.
Yeah.
I made it to the exact same place, and that was all that happened for me. I kept winding up in subplots. And, yeah. And eventually, I had had enough of
them. That's it. You just, the ledge. If you had just, Brett, the problem was you kept jumping at that ledge. You just needed to walk to the end of it. It would have said, level complete. You were over. You just didn't know it. So frustrating. But there's no way to know. There was no distinction. So, all right, let's move on to the Super Nintendo game. So what do we got here?
Well, there was one Spider-Man game, the Return of the Sinister Six, which wasn't really, it just wasn't very good.
was this the one that was the Japanese?
It was
actually?
A Japanese. So yes.
We accidentally had a Japanese ROM that we were playing. So I mean, that definitely, like, the presentation at the beginning, like the storyline, the different things they're doing, looked like it's probably pretty cool.
Oh, there was a Japanese and there was a Spanish one too, but.
Yeah, I think I tried to fix the Japanese one, drop the Spanish one in, and then it was still just another language, which didn't... Spanish or Japanese, it's all Greek to me.
I had more luck with the Spanish. I was able to sort more of the Spanish out.
But I remember playing this...
El Hombre Spider. Yes, okay, I know what we're doing. Electro, already in Spanish.
Hawkeye.
This one's got lots of, like, robots... and like you jump along and you punch these robots. Eventually, you had this flying robot that would like dive bomb you, and you would punch up at it, but you couldn't punch as high as he was, and you couldn't jump and kick him either. So the key to beating him was to walk past him. But
oh, that's what I was doing. Wrong. I tried to actually engage.
Punch him. I know. I did too. Like the first two times I died, I'm like, I should hit him. I know. I'm firing subs. I'm like, finally, I just go. You know what? I just walk past him. But then you do. You walk past him, and you get to the building. You jump on the building. You start climbing up, and then you get to a ledge. And Spider-Man gets to the top of the ledge and cannot lift himself over this. Once again, Spider-Man's most deadly enemy, the ledge, rears his ugly head. You cannot
As I do the, as I physically am trying to lift myself over an edge.
God, it's a 90 degree angle. What am I going to do?
I have never, like, for all of, like, I will never understand this, the concept that we actually play these games for fun. At
like, one you,
that was my one thought while playing all these games was, I used to do this for fun.
Yeah, like, this was
fucker's stupid.
This is because it makes no sense anymore. Like, you're just like, and at one point, this was cutting edge technology that we were dealing with, that we were looking at, that Spider-Man jumping
on. The thing is, I talked to Brett about it, and Brett tried a billion different things to get over that ledge and couldn't. I jumped to the left, and then immediately pressed to the right, and while I was still in the air, jumped up over the edge that way. And I was like, oh, that's how you do it. And then I went on. I kept on fighting different enemies and engaging ones. I sort of just walked past. And I get to the end, and that's the beetle. That's the boss level. And I had, like, a sliver of energy. And I kicked his ass right till he had a sliver of energy left. Because he was the easiest part of the game. So much easier than that dive-bombing guy.
I mean, how was that easy? Okay. You can get him
but
right
to the end. But I had no energy left, so he killed me.
No, you could get him right to the end, but then he starts flying and just zapping straight down, and there was no
way
you
could
do it.
There's no way you could beat him, because you have no energy left. Oh,
stupid game.
But I love the fact, and this is the greatest thing, is that it inspires, like, actual passion.
Because you're pissed off because it should be easy. And you keep on going. I keep on going to myself. It's like, are these games really that hard? Or was I that much better and I'm that much stupider now? Like, well,
see,
I can't figure out.
Now you're gonna pick up Superior Foes of Spider-Man, get to page 2 and, like, the Beatles, and you're like, fuck you. There's no way that I'm reading this.
I want to know
that given the way that some of these games were, if we had less games, like if we'd actually only chose like 5 games, how much longer would we
have would we have tortured ourselves going, like would I really try to solve this? Yeah. And go through this, or would I still say this is too hard and give up?
No. Yeah, I feel like you would have said, like, oh, screw that. I can totally get this. I'm going to get the Beetle. I'm totally going
to
get the Beetle.
Because we had so many games to get to. We're just like, whatever. But no, Brett, you couldn't get past a ledge.
Yeah.
So I think that...
No, I gave up on ledges.
There's another one that I gave up earlier than that, so...
Yeah.
This one coming up.
No, I got...
I know which one it is. Yeah.
The next one, my god. So I got, there's several, but Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Turtles in Time. We talked quickly about it.
Nintendo
game's not as good because it's a little
more. It's really damn good, though. Like,
but it is
very close. Like, I thought.
If you have people to play with, you know, and not just.
It's
not
funny because Chris was mentioning he seems to remember that.
The Turtles are legendary bad video games.
Yeah, I don't remember that.
I remember maybe Attack of the Show mentioning it. I'm not a video game player. That historically, the Turtles games are not remembered fondly.
Well, see, I remember the opposite. I remember that these side-scrolling beat-em-ups were, like, really, really fondly remembered. That these were up there with the Streets of Rage and the Final Fights and these different ones that,
you know,
as people's favorites.
The only one that I ever remember, honestly, is Turtles in Time. Like, and I remember that being... You know, I seem to remember that being well respected.
Well, that's another one. Perhaps it's the other. It's not on this list, but there was the other Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Hyperion Heist.
Oh, Hyperstone.
Hyperstone Heist that's on the Genesis.
Yeah.
And I tried playing that, and it's awful. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I can see why. Like, it's really
stupid. Well, the other one for Nintendo was terrible.
Yeah.
I mean, absolutely.
I think the quote I heard was when they were reviewing a turtle fighting game.
Hey, Chris, where's that? You're empty. You need this one. This chocolate.
I'm gonna go get a beer from the fridge. A beer run. Who needs a beer?
No, I don't need that. I'm just wondering. Well, I'm just seeing you need a beer, and I'm thinking this chocolate bunny around. Anyway,
chocolate bunny would be full of dead wasps right now.
Yeah. I hope so. Serve those wasps right. I don't know who you feel sorry for. The wasps or the chocolate bunny. But yeah, no. This is really good. I mean, the best thing about these, the funnest thing about these is. When you grab one of those ninjas and you toss it towards the screen and it comes flying
totally.
Up the screen,
that
I love that every that single time.
Great.
It feels great.
Yeah, that was absolutely awesome. Like, just really nice job with with the game and like just the design of the game.
Yeah, it played exactly like the arcade version. It's just that the graphics are a little less, not too bad. The sound is much less. That was the big part, the cutscenes and the sound. But really, like the gameplay is totally there.
How the hell did our eardrums survive the MIDI era?
We knew no better.
Oh my God!
You know, I mean, it's interesting to think that, you know, I'm playing these games with a 5-year-old around, and I mean, you know, he'll go up and play like a new video game, and I mean, it just devastates everything, like you know, that I'm playing here. I mean, the funny thing is that on the regular Nintendo, it was the Genesis, I think, these games are 760 kilobytes.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not even a meg in size.
Your phone could play these.
Oh! My phone is way smarter than
text these.
Yeah, like, that's it. This is an email, right there. You know, and like smaller than an email, and it just blows my mind that they actually fit any data in these things whatsoever.
Yeah, even the arcade games, which were considered to be more advanced, are about the same size, really.
Yeah, they might be a bit. So we have the Incredible Hulk.
Don't let it be so loud.
Too late now, Chris. You're a drink. Your drink down on the table. I'm like, I'm talking about the future. You have to move it onto that now.
Yeah, but you wouldn't take the. Oh my God, I go. I know awesome. What you're saying. Signal. You just kept the. It's the only way I could shut you up.
All right. Well, anyways, Brett, what do we have here to talk about?
Spawn. Todd McFarlane presents Spawn.
Spawn.
Did you try it?
I did.
What'd you think?
I liked that they had the countdown clock. As you got hurt, the countdown clock changed. That was all I liked about it. It made like a, you know, when you jumped and did a kick, it did the swirly hurt guys thing. That was also okay.
I played, this was a game that I played for 30 seconds, I think. Honestly, I got in there, I hit a couple of bad guys, and I ran into something, and I was just like, no, I'm done.
Yeah, okay. Generic bad guys, 7, 4, and 13, I think, were in this one. What do you think, Chris?
I played it long enough to think, oh God, another side-scroller. This one has okay graphics. Is there anything else? No, there isn't. I'm moving on.
They had like a cut scene. It's kind of dark and moody. And
oh, some it was really depressing.
Yeah, kind of depressing. But I mean, I liked it. I'm like, oh, okay, we got something a little grittier here, something a little more hardcore, something a little bit more dangerous feel to it. So I kind of like that. I like the music, and then you get to the game, and you're like, you're Spawn, and you got this cape, and you know the graphics, like you say, aren't too bad. You got the chain. And you're like, oh, Spawn can do so much cool stuff. You know that cool stuff that super powerful character Spawn can do in the comic books, and you can't do any of that.
Yep.
You can punch. I don't even think you can kick. You can punch and you can jump, and then jump down and punch. Like it's pretty bad. Yeah. So.
All right. Well, let's end with the bad.
Speaking of bad,
Justice League Task Force.
Now, I gotta say, in all honesty, this is a fighting game, and we're playing it on a keyboard. So, fighting games aren't meant to be played. You can't. If there's like a shuriken move, you know, where you're supposed to roll your, you know, backwards, front, backwards to left, and roll half circle or something, you can't do it when you're playing with a, you know. Get arrows on a keyboard.
Yes.
So it's not quite fair from that perspective.
It's never going to be helped by the fact that there were, 7 characters?
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that you fight all the characters once, and then you fight zombie versions or cyborg versions of the characters through the next level. And then I think you fight Darkseid. And that's the end of the game. Right there. Like, that's... It's just like... 14 odd levels, and then you're done.
I would have liked a member of Justice League Task Force to appear in this game.
Yes.
There were none.
Wasn't Despero in it?
Who?
Wasn't Despero in it?
Despero.
As I don't villain, remember him. Yeah.
Are there fireworks going on? Is that lightning?
Oh, could be either one. Anyway.
Sunfire, I don't know.
But I loaded this game thinking, I want to play Martian Manhunter. I want to play Booster Gold. Gold.
Members that are actually, when I think of the Justice League Task Force, I don't think of Superman, Wonder Woman, the Flash.
Batman, Green Arrow.
Green Arrow.
None of those were actually members, yeah.
Yeah, none of these are members. It's almost like they went, Justice League Task Force, okay, let's make this game. And somebody went, what's the roster of that? Oh, we can't use them. We need people will recognize, and they put these other characters in there. I started off as the Flash, and...
God damn it. I actually can't... It's appropriate to use the phrase, this is not my Justice League Task Force. It's like the one time I'm not being facetious. This isn't the Justice League Task Force ball.
No, it isn't. And I play as the Flash, and I'm like, okay, I lowered the level, because you can lower the difficulty level. There's 5 levels. I lowered it to the 2nd lowest level, because I'm like, oh, I'm not going to be very good. I get out there, I play Superman. They're just relentless. He's just on your ass. He just beats the hell out of you. I think I kicked him twice or something. And you're doing like this karate kick as the Flash. I'm like, when does he do that? And you can't do any of the special moves, and you just get your ass kicked. And I'm like, okay, let me try this again. So I tried the battle mode. I'm like, well, maybe I'll open up more characters instead of playing the mission mode. And it did, because there I chose Darkseid, and I was fighting as him. And I almost beat Wonder Woman, but I still lost, and it sucks.
Yeah, it was...
When
it
I
was
played stupid. Superman and got my ass handed to me by Green Arrow, yeah. That was more than enough of that game.
Yeah. I started out with Green Arrow, and then it was like, I don't even think I got a punch in on Wonder Woman, and I'm like...
I kind of hope there's an Easter egg hidden somewhere in Injustice that you can play this game.
I don't. Oh my god.
No, never. Nothing. This should not be an Easter
egg. Battle simulator.
I would have been happy with one member of the task force, but there is nobody.
No.
This is not a good game.
No, wait. Aquaman was a task force member.
Oh, yeah, maybe.
I think Aquaman was a task force
member. I don't think so.
I don't know. Tim Truman did write most of Turok. I looked that up.
You looked that up? All right, members of Justice League Task Force, go.
Do some more research.
All right.
Do some research.
All right.
Don't get me wrong. Justice League Task Force was a terrible comic book, but...
Hey, you look it up. We're going to go around. Brett, you'll say final thoughts on...
On the games, yeah.
I think, you know, honestly, it really comes down to... the radical difference in video games between now and then. Like, and you definitely can see the evolution as you play through the different systems, but superheroes are just not really meant for side-scrolling punching games. It just doesn't work nearly as well as you would hope.
Chris?
This sounded like a good idea at one time. It really wasn't. Pointless exercise.
It was fun. I had fun.
Well, I had fun, and I did have fun playing some of the games. I mean, the thing is, Brett said, like, I can go back and I can play Legend of Zelda from Nintendo, and it's still a great game.
Yep.
So it's not about the games. I mean, I can still play Final Fantasy, or I can play different, you know, Chrono Trigger.
Stuff like that. There's lots of fantastic games.
Yeah, there is. And even something like The Punisher, the Genesis version, shows to me you can do a side scroll and beat them up and make them fun. And I can still play Streets of Rage.
Absolutely.
So, and I know I can play that, so I mean, it's not that. But it's most of these, it's just like, oh, somebody obviously gets the license, goes, what's the character's powers? Okay, make him do that, and then that's good enough. Like, there's no care.
Yeah,
there's no love.
Yeah, there's like, just a bunch of half-assed video games that they throw out there because they know the comic book geeks are going to come out and buy.
Well, that's it. It's like, at the time, it's like, okay, we'll put a character, we'll put Wolverine and the X-Men in a game. And Blockbuster will order 4 copies per store because they know there's comic book fans who are going to rent it. And that's it. It doesn't matter about the quality. And that's almost like how it comes across. Like I said, that's the difference. The Genesis Wolverine Adamantium Rage, you go, the people who worked on that like Wolverine, know Wolverine, care about Wolverine. And the people who worked on the Super Nintendo one didn't. And that's just kind of how it comes across for most of these. They just don't. They don't care. And that's a shame. But... is there some stuff worth playing? Yeah, if I'm saying to you, if you want to get an emulator, or if they're available on one of the PlayStation Network or Xbox Live or anything like that, if the Punisher's there, you play it.
If I could find the Punisher, I would.
TMNT, I know they did an update for that in the Turtles in Time. Play it, for sure. It's awesome. Yeah, I mean, there's definitely some that I would play. But there's most of them, you just go, stay away. It hurts. And if there's any game which has a ledge in it, probably want to avoid that one, because odds are... You're not going to be able to have the skill to get past right that there. Thing.
Bam.
Any thoughts there, Keith? As you, or did you find anything?
I did find that Flash was a founding member of Justice League Task Force.
Oh, really? Well, there you go.
Later left the team. That book lasted 38 issues, which is
really
37 and a zero. Yeah.
Wow,
that's pretty impressive.
I'm definitely a surprise.
It's the foghorn.
Excuse me.
It was a foghorn?
Yeah.
What did you eat?
We're here by the ocean.
Yeah, in the middle of Calgary. In the middle of the prairies.
I was reminded why I don't really... Never really played a lot of video games.
What about Wing Commander 4? You like that, right?
I did love that game. Yeah. I like shooting games. I like first-person flight games. That's about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd said when I drive over here.
How was Star Control 2 on 3DO? That was great.
That was a good game.
One of the great games of all time.
Yeah,
that was back when you were playing them.
Yeah,
yeah.
I don't know where I was going there, other than I don't like side-scrolling games. Maybe that's what I should say.
Maybe.
And there was like two games out of this entire pile that were side-scrolling.
Yeah, and there was almost all side-scrolling.
We have one fighting game with the Punisher game.
Well, yeah, they're either a fighting game side-scrolling or a platformer side-scrolling for the vast majority. So, yeah.
All right, let's answer a few questions and get the hell out of here. This.
Well, I just want to say before we do that, did you guys read any comics this week? Anything you want to say about anything? You read. I know there was another Age of Ultron. There was the new Superior Spider-Man. What else was out there? I read this incredibly weird book we got a preview from called Gamma from Dark Horse.
Good. Loved it. Loved every panel.
All right.
But I'm a Godzilla fan.
Yeah, I didn't like any panel.
Chris, what were you smoking before you read it?
It was weird. It was wonderful.
It was so weird.
Oh, it was so weird. I loved it.
I just thought it was.
Well,
like,
Brett, tell everybody the concept, what we're dealing with, and why this is such a weird. Nah.
Well, to me, I just likened it to the fact that I thought this guy was.
He was out there.
But no, but I thought he was like he's like a Pokemon trainer. Who's like, you know, 20 years past his prime, and the Pokemon are like all dead. That was kind of where I got.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was. He was a Pokemon trainer. Like, what if the Pokemon trainer screwed up and became an alcoholic and a drunk and an abusive human being?
Yeah.
This is what it was. It sounds like a funny idea. It should be. But if the art wasn't so really, really rough, and the character wasn't such a scumbag you hated him and hated being near him, this is so weird. It's not even that it's a bad quality. It's just an unlikable book.
Yeah, it's
obviously not, because I loved it.
Yeah, but you're the same one who sits there and goes, that five-year-old, yeah, I'd give that five-year-old black kiss. That's fine.
Did they have alcoholic Pokemon on the first page?
Actually, it's too well to get going.
Which, Gamma?
Yeah, no, I didn't read it. No. Oh, man, it's so weird. Brett, you hated it?
Oh, I didn't like it at all.
Yeah.
Didn't like it at all.
Anything else? Anybody read anything else this week that they want to talk about that was in there?
I mean, I read most everything. I'm go Team Galactus, destroy the Ultimate Universe. Go.
This was, Chris asked me a question earlier about the hunger, because he was quite confused. And that was something I was going to bring up as a topic, but you know, now we're in hour 8.
We don't know what we're into.
But Chris was confused by the hunger, because it does not say on the cover that this is the Ultimate Universe. And there's not a whole lot in this, like, other than I knew from Age of Ultron that Galactus had moved into the Ultimate Universe. There's nothing to actually tell you that. And Chris asked me at the comic store this afternoon, at what point did Rick Jones become a cosmic character? Because, you know, the last time he was just some guy.
He's superpowered, but he's a Hulk superpower.
Yeah, he's
an Agents of Smash or whatever.
My favorite A-bomb. Part, my favorite part with it was I actually like, because it's written by Joshua Hale Fialkov, and I thought to myself, "Hey, sweet, I'm reading Alpha." Just every time they just change the name from Alpha to Rick Jones, you know.
But it's, I mean, this book, because it doesn't say it's an Ultimate, confused Chris, who picked it up. There's nothing.
I thought it was an Age of Ultron book.
It's a bridging book.
Yeah, I only skimmed through it, and I'm going, Age of Ultron, I haven't read it.
One of the big shock endings of Age of Ultron was a two-page splash that of Miles Morales, Spider-Man, and the 616 version of Galactus. Oh. At the end of Age of Ultron, the 616 version of Galactus has moved into the Ultimate Universe.
Because there is an Ultimate Universe of the Galactus.
And that's what happens in this book, is that the Ultimate Universe's version of Galactus, which is a big eating cloud thingy, and the purple and blue Galactus, who is so
awesome.
The
entity. You know what? I read that years ago when it came out, the appearance of Galactus in the... And it's even spelled different. Galactus.
Galactus.
Yeah, in the Ultimate Universe. And I loved it. I was like, oh, that was good. I can't remember who wrote it. Like Warren Ellis or something.
Warren Ellis.
And it was awesome. And I loved the fact that it was different. That you could get a different, probably in many ways more plausible take on a Galactus without ruining the continuity of the 616 universe. So, I thought it was great at the time. So, I mean, who knows what they're doing now.
Well, that's what The Hunger is the first issue is those two versions intersect. This actually, and then a few days ago, there was a lot of confusion when the
I just have to say before you go ahead, of course, if we hadn't gotten that ultimate version of Galactus, we might never have had the awful Galactus that we had in the Fantastic Four Rise of the Silver Surfer movie.
That's right.
So, it's not worth it.
Yes.
Anyways, go ahead.
Galactus wears purple pants.
Lucy. Like that. That's only between him and me, but that was funny.
Well, I'm glad that's on the show then.
Yeah, no question. Well,
nothing like an in joke.
I'm just catching up, man.
Nothing like an in joke that's focused down on only half of the
Oh, come
hosts.
On. At this rate, nobody's listening to the show anymore.
Oh, crap.
Actually, Chris has just admitted he's no longer listening.
I'm starting to stop the listening now.
Oh, anyways, you're saying, Keith, please get to it. What's wrong with you?
But like, I read three different reviews for Batman Superman number 2, the Jay Lee Greg Pak, that were obviously completely lost that the book took place on Earth 2. And they were like, is this an alternate universe? When are we going to unpack this? Maybe it's an alternate universe that traveled into the future. But it was like 100% clear that they had missed. And then I'm like...
Yeah, it was right at the end of the first book.
But there's no blurb on the cover.
Oh, yeah.
There's no previously in. So if you just pick this up, you've got two different versions of Batman and Superman who have different costumes. Two of them appear much older than other versions. So, if you read solicit material, of course, it's ridiculously clear. But you shouldn't have to. And for the Galactus as well, though. The Galactus never says it's the Ultimate Universe. Yeah. It's not on the cover, because I specifically looked for that. Once I was reading it, because I had the moment, too, like, forgetting the Age of Ultron bit, that this came after it. I'm like, so what is the Rick Jones deal?
Well, hold on a second.
It does take place.
It's in the
Ultimate, Universe.
Correct.
Do we know what happened to the bees, Galactus? Is that still in the Ultimate Universe, or has it moved over to the Marvel Universe?
No,
it's in that issue. It's in that issue that you just
read.
It's obviously too confusing, but here's my question for you. So is this then... Is the Galactus from the 616 universe, the core Marvel universe, the Marvel now, is he moving into the Ultimate Universe of 2 years ago, or the one today?
It is the one today.
Well, how does that work?
And there's a big event coming up.
And they should have so
basically
marketed
we have like
this
three
as
different
an
universe.
Ultimate book.
So basically, though, don't we have three different universes then? Because we have the Age of Ultron universe, which is 2 years ago, the 616 universe, and the Ultimate Universe, and we're already screwing up the continuity and smashing them together in a way that doesn't work, aren't we?
Well, Age of Ultron is it has been called Marvel's Flashpoint, because it is, even now after Spider-Man, it is even clearer showing that Ultimate is now going to be more connected to 616 than it had been before. I think we can now assume that
Age of Ultron was supposed to have come out before Spider-Man, and this is why those books got, like, why these two characters could meet. But
hey, you know what? Hey, I'm glad they did the Ultimate Universe. It was important. They had some good stories. It in many ways influenced a smarter, more logical, more adult version of the current Marvel Universe. But maybe it's just time.
It doesn't sell very well anymore. No. So.
That is actually a question that got tweeted to us by Aaron Long. Is it time to implode the Ultimate Universe? Hunger leads to cataclysm. Has Ultimate U served its purpose?
Yeah, I think so.
I think it had. I think we said a year ago that it had.
Oh, yeah, for sure. For yeah. sure. Yeah,
actually, at this point, I would like to cherry pick a couple things from the Ultimate Universe.
I think they have.
Ultimate Spider-Man is still successful, isn't it? I mean, it's still Bendis and still. I understand it's quite good. And
yeah, even then, I mean, the sales are like. You're talking about 130 or something like that in the sales range. I mean, you're not talking about a popular book.
But I'd like the Ultimate Spider-Man to actually move into a world with the Superior Spider-Man.
Yeah.
And have fun with that for a little bit.
Yeah, that would be very cool. Yeah.
We're going to have quite a population of Spider-Men pretty soon.
Yeah.
We've got 2099 is going to be appearing soon.
Hmm. Oh, yeah, but that'll fail immediately. We know that.
No, that book ran for, what, 7 years or something?
Oh, yeah. No, it's still popular. Like, I mean, Miguel is popular, for sure.
Yeah. And it doesn't hurt that he appeared in that video game, too. So.
That's right.
So what else we got on Twitter questions, then, unless there's another book from this week you guys want to talk about?
I'm trying to remember the name of one of the ones we read.
I remember the team-up book. Yeah.
Superior Team-Up, which I wasn't much for.
There's the Lobster Johnson book. I read that. I thought it was not too bad. I know, Brett, you didn't like it.
Yeah, I actually thought the Lobster Johnson was awful.
Yeah.
Like, honestly.
I'm not reading it anymore.
But it's funny because most of the time I just come out and say, like, that was a solid book. And at the end of Lobster Johnson, I thought, wow, this actually sucks. Like, this is just, I don't think this is a good book for me.
Was there another book from IDW or something like that came out then this week, though?
Yeah, there was something else, frankly. Yeah. If I don't remember it now, then why would I want to talk about it?
I thought it was a very unexciting week, actually. There was nothing going on.
Yeah. Okay. So what else is on Twitter then?
Oh, let's see. We got Mike Fitzgerald, Mike Fitz 538, Dreamcast for Superman Batman, which I guess is Batman is who we're going to cast.
Well, no, it's a Dreamcast.
Well, the actual question is actually it's not even the form.
Oh God, I thought we were talking about video games again. Says, and there for a second, Dreamcast. There was a Superman Batman game,
including punctuation. Cast Superman Batman! Exclamation point. So it's not in the form of a question, but I'm assuming what he means is cast Batman.
Yeah, right?
And you know, if there's going to be supporting cast for Batman, then I think you just do Joseph Gordon-Levitt and screw it, make it a sequel to Christopher Nolan's, and make another segment of the audience mad.
Yeah, Joseph Gordon-Levitt. That's exactly who I would choose. Absolutely, like flat out. Bam.
Yeah, I like that. Although. I hear Marvel's looking at him for Doctor Strange. I'd prefer to see him Doctor Strange, but
that would be cool
if we could have both.
Levitt's like one of those actors though that gets rumored for any role that comes.
Oh yeah, but especially like the Ellis version of Doctor Strange that they did for a little bit with the slightly longer hair. He would be really cool in that.
He's an actor I really really like. So
I get to do this right. I have to say. Yeah, you're going to think I'm crazy, but you know what I think would make a really great Batman? Same guy who plays Wolverine there. What's his name?
Hugh Jackman.
I'd love to see Hugh Jackman as Batman. You might think I'm insane, but I think it'd be great.
I think that Christian Bale has the range for this character. He's coming off of a very successful franchise.
Wait. I heard
they had a screen test with him. And unfortunately, it kind of annoyed me that he spoke like this the whole time, and I really just couldn't stand it.
I'm just going to go with my stock answer for every character now, Idris Elba.
That's a good catch.
I would love a black Superman.
You know who else would be good, really good in this? Robert Downey Jr.
Let's get Chris Evans. Is there anything? <he's thinking?
laughs> you know who needs a successful comic book movie?
Ryan Reynolds.
Yes,
Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah. Ryan Reynolds. Now he's in comic book movies all the time. He plays about the right age. He's got the right look.
Yeah.
He's got the right look. He's needing a successful movie. Is he done with RIPD and having so many franchises and big budget movies that have been? Like, is that it for him? Is he going to disappear?
I mean, a guy could dream. I really like Ryan Reynolds.
I love Ryan Reynolds. Done,
yeah, but you have that many bombs, though?
Of really bad movies.
Yeah. Like, I mean...
The dude needs a hit.
He does.
He would actually make a good Batman. I really do think that.
He's kind of fallen into doing a bit of a shtick. I mean,
yeah.
Green Lantern is really the same character he's played in, like, four different romantic comedies.
Yeah.
Like it's kind of and it's just this kind of smart ass.
And he'll have a role as long as he takes off his shirt.
Well, as long as he's taking off his shirt, it's worthwhile. Yeah.
I'm right there. I mean, go on. What was your next question?
Yeah. Can we wrap this up, please?
Let's see now. What else we got? EP McFarlane, are the big two focusing too much on film and not enough on comics?
No.
No, that's where the money is. Where the money is.
I was just listening to the Dan Juergen spotlight from San Diego, and they were talking about 20 years ago how they made editorial decisions based on the fact that there was a TV show. Now, the TV show never told them to do anything, but they said there's going to be a TV show, more people are watching the show than read the comics. We should have things in the comics that capitalize on that. And that was actually why they did Death of Superman instead of doing the wedding. They were never told not to do the wedding, but they thought there shouldn't be a show about romance of Lois and Clark, and Lois and Clark are married. That's just, it's been the way it's been for decades, that you don't make decisions based on the film properties because the film properties say so. You do it because when someone's introduced to Spider-Man in the movies, you sure as heck should be able to come to the comic store and read a story about Peter Parker. It's why I think Peter Parker's going to be back before the second Amazing Spider-Man's out. I don't think anyone's going to make them do it.
You know what I realized this week? That I don't care if he ever comes back. I enjoy the Superior Spider-Man book so much.
I'm
reading all the Spider-Man for the first time in years.
Yeah.
I love it so much. I don't care if he ever comes back. I realize that.
I'm really, really enjoying it.
I don't think he will. Because I think they're going to put out enough Peter Parker Spider-Man sideline comics, whether it be miniseries, that are going to be infinitely easier for people to read and pick up and get into right around the movie, then they're going to be less concerned about the actual series, which already sells gangbusters.
Yeah, it's doing very well.
Yeah. Well, because it's good. Yeah. But the other thing is, like you say, go where the money is, but the only thing they could do a little bit better is actually make people who see the movies more aware of the comic books and what's going on there. They could do that better. But as far as, are they concentrating too much on the movies? Absolutely not.
I agree.
Is that it?
I got lots here. I got lots.
Oh, really? Okay.
We got a couple from Matt. We got Reese Marino. He listens to our show. And I got to say that Reese is a colorist. He works on I'm Elio Cole. And he has told me that he listens to the show while he's working on comics.
That's cool.
A couple of creators have told us that, and it is like ridiculously humbling. That
It gives me shivers.
we're just shooting the shit about comics is what we do, but you know, to know that
can tell from tonight's podcast, we sometimes forget we have listeners.
Yeah. And the thing is, and when you're talking about
we have hosts,
we're talking when you're talking about me, you're talking about a lot of shit. Let's face it.
And Reese has told me that he likes that we're generally positive about comics. You know, sometimes I know we can get a bit down on some stuff, but I think we've got a bit of balance of what each of us likes. He asks, what island do all us positive people belong on?
Canada.
Genosha.
That's pretty good.
Vancouver Island.
Easter Island.
Ooh, I like that.
All right,
it has giant rock heads, and there's
hidden eggs. Hidden chocolate eggs.
Home of the chocolate bunny.
It's the perfect place.
What else we got?
We got Matt Santori Griffith. If you could write any comic book that already was created by someone else, what would it be?
Oh, damn it. I mean, it's not Team Hawkman.
Can I count Booster Gold and the, Booster Gold and Time Masters is also off the book?
It was created by somebody else. Yeah, so you can't do that. Yeah.
I think you can have Team Hawkman. I mean, all the characters have been created by someone else. You know, that's true. You're not inventing your own character.
Yeah.
I've decided...
If I could actually write a character... If I could actually write a comic book series, who wouldn't want to write Spider-Man? I'd love to write Spider-Man. God, I'd love to write Spider-Man. Wouldn't it be fun? Yeah.
Silver Surfer for me.
Silver Surfer.
Noble.
Love him. Well, after last week, now I want to write Green Arrow.
I got to say, runner up for me is Flash. I really would love to have a crack of the Flash. It's like that'd be a fun one to do too.
I think. Booster Gold's the obvious one for me, but Superman.
Yeah.
Now the more I think about Green Arrow, I want to bring back that. I want to bring back the real Oliver Queen.
Yeah.
I think Green Lantern, Green Arrow, but with different Green Lantern. And right. Same Green Arrow.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's John funny. Stewart and...
You talk about Booster Gold for you. For me, it's not like... I'm not Power Man and Iron Fist. Yeah. I'm not Blue Devil. I'm not Shazam. I'm not those characters. That's not the characters
I'm going to change my answer now.
Yeah?
The New Universe.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, there you go.
There you go.
You mentioned that earlier. Yeah. You know, like last night when we started.
That's right.
Golden Age Sandman would be fun, right, Brad?
Yeah. If you could get any comic from your childhood back as a monthly that isn't currently published, what would that be?
Keith says the New Universe.
The New Universe. I had to be specific.
I
would say probably Star Brand.
Kind of understand this. Does this mean the same book being published or just that book being published again, a new version?
Like any comic from your childhood... that isn't currently published, so...
So, I mean, basically, I mean, if I could bring back Blue Devil with the same character, or same creators, right? Is that what we're saying?
Sure.
Yeah? Okay, well, I mean...
Or Power Man.
But it would be Power Man and Iron Fist with Christopher Priest writing it still. I mean, that would be, for me...
Richard Penny, ElfQuest. Although it's not that long ago the last volume came out, but...
You know what else would be right up there for me, honestly? A Power Pack. Louis Simonson. I'd love to.
Louis Simonson, yeah. He kind of went off the rails there near the end. But
still, yeah, I mean, that was great.
So good.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Can you imagine if they wrote that right up till these characters actually became adults? How awesome that could have been.
Yeah, no kidding.
It occurs to me that those characters would be in their late 30s now.
Yeah. Which is great. I would have liked to read that right.
Yeah, because I remember Alex Power was my age at one point.
Yeah.
And then I kept aging and he didn't. It's the lousy Alex Power. Brett, did you say one?
Well, I'm going to say Icon Devil because maybe this time I'll finish it.
How many issues did they ever have?
Two, twice.
And just one last question here. Is there a single comic book character that you don't just love, but actually identify yourself with? And I know that for Matt, he always says Batgirl is his spirit animal. which Mo clearly respects and admires.
Well, it's just it would have been okay if you hadn't said spirit animal. Kind of like that. How do you take that seriously?
Now, but for that token, I have to say Samurai Penguin.
Oh, nice. You identify as...
as the Samurai Penguin. Yes, he's the spirit animal.
Himself as Samurai Penguin.
Right, you're just screwing around. For me, that would be Billy Batson. Right there. That is, you know. Yeah.
I always return to Batman. If I don't know what to read, I will pick a random Batman.
If you ask this question of 100,000 comic book readers, the one that would come up the most, though, is Peter Parker.
I would imagine. Yeah, I would imagine so.
Yeah, a lot of the Marvel characters, I think, would certainly come up a lot.
Well, how about you, Keith?
It's a tough one. I've been thinking about it as you're talking, but I've had to listen to
it. Oh, come on, Booster Gold, just say it.
No, it's not Booster, because, I mean, Booster's not like he was a star athlete who fell on hard times, so it's not...
I had the hard times, but not so much the star athlete.
Yeah, by that token, then I'd have to go with Wesley Dodds, just because, again, at least I know that.
Yeah.
Dude with glasses. All right. Nailed it.
I don't know. It's a really hard question.
It is a hard question. Actually, if I took more time on it, I'd probably like that, too, but... Maybe we think about this one. This is how we enter next week's show, telling everybody.
We'll open the show.
I lean towards Billy Batson. I think I need some more time early. Just out of curiosity, didn't you have one more question from Matt? That he
I did. Today? I did. I'll be sleeping on Matt's couch in a couple of weeks when I'm in Chicago for the Wizard World Comic Convention, and. And Matt has asked things Matt should know before Keith gets about Keith before he gets to Chicago. So what can you tell Matt about
yeah, me? Because I mean, I did say jokingly on Twitter,
rubber sheets.
Yeah, I responded that he steals. but if I'm going to say something.
And John said that's not a problem because I'm flying, there's a weight restriction, there's only so much I can take.
Yeah. yeah, something you need to know about Keith before he shows up. He's Canadian, so he's polite.
Right. I fart, I apologize.
That wasn't funny.
All right, I think that's about it. Unless you can think of anything, Brett. No? All right. Okay.
No, please. Stop the bleeding.
All right, we're done here, folks. They're going OUT. Email us, comics@wetalkpodcast. I am Mo_wetalk.
Chris_wetalk.
Brett_wetalk.
And to be an individualist,
Cub Reporter K.
_wetalk.
No. At Cub Reporter K. All right, we are, once again, OUT. Thank you very much, everyone, for listening.